Go fuck yourselves. I'm here. Merry fucking shit fuck and happy cock ass. Dave Landau, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, guys. Happy New Year.
Hey, there you go. There's some festivity.
I'm just playing along. I'm never happy.
I know. It's fucking awesome. That's why you fit in so well.
I know. I'm dead inside. So, hey, everybody. It's a new shitty year.
My entire vacation was spent hacking, coughing. Like the Godfather.
You got hit with a racquetball.
Stop, you're spilling it. I was hacking, coughing, stuffy nose, the whole fucking gamut of illness.
I had people coming up to me on my show like, what's with Anthony? And I'm like, he's sick. They're like, yeah, but he canceled his party. Like,
I did, I know.
No way he's sick. What is it really? I'm like, he's fucking sick.
That's like what, that's the only reason I would cancel my party. And I've been sick and not canceled the party. I had a poker game that Saturday and everyone came over and I didn't even play poker. I was literally on my couch, watched people come in, Pat Dixon and Dennis and fucking Fred from Brooklyn, my brother, everyone just comes down. They go downstairs,
right?
Play poker till 3 a.m. And I was upstairs on the couch, taking NyQuil. It's I don't know what to do.
I feel like we should have came back Monday.
Monday would have been good. Would have been good.
Next Monday.
Yeah, yeah.
You should get codeine cough syrup.
I got like every type of fucking thing. Tried everything.
I can't take it, but like if I were you, I would go to town on codeine cough syrup.
Oh,
you feel like God.
Yeah, I was hoping, you know, something would click. The NyQuil works pretty good, but that's only
out. Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to get knocked out, then it's fucking awesome. But other than that, like, DayQuil kind of works, keeps the shit out of your fucking head and chest. But everything else, and nothing really works.
Robitussin?
I took everything. And cough drops. Oh, that'll stop the fucking bubonic plague. Candy. Oh, did you take some cough drops? Oh, really? Candy's going to cure AIDS?
Yeah, you get canker sores every 3 seconds.
Yeah, that's what I need.
Candy.
All right, and then I just fucking broke out like crazy from taking it, all that shit. Oh, it's just been a god-fuck disaster. New Year's Eve, sick. I couldn't even play it with all my favorite video games because I was so woozy and my head was pounding and my eyes were burning and I had no energy for a shooter. So I just sit there and play bridge-building games and other games that fags like. I don't know.
To vomit on the 26th. That was fun.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's the day after Christmas.
I've been overeating, though, which is just the sad thing. I really was just sick all day after I had whatever this is.
You had this, too? Everyone had it.
Sinus infection, yeah.
Scotty had it. I heard Gino had that shit.
He still has it, yeah.
Yeah.
He couldn't talk this morning.
Really?
It was a blessing, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
What a good show.
Did he drink?
Oh, yeah, off the bat.
I tried.
His grandpa's cough syrup.
Saturday night when the poker game was going on, I was like, I'm going to try something. So, like, I just cracked open a bottle of wine, maybe. See
you
how that.
Try a shot of Jameson at 9 a.m?
Yeah, so I did that. I took a few sips of the wine. It's like, nah, this just ain't doing it. It's just not doing it for medicinal purposes. So it just was a wash. The whole fucking week that I was off sucked. Just laying there in my own filth. Terrible.
It sounds like a blast.
Pisser.
Did you get anything nice for Christmas?
A couple of things, but I just buy myself shit all year long.
Yeah,
so people have a hard time getting me shit for Christmas. But yeah, Missy got me something good for the living room table. You know those things you use at the office where you could pick things up and stand and work?
Yeah, the
that so it could lift up a little more, so I'm not hunched over when I play games.
The standing desk.
Yeah, but I'm not standing.
Right.
It just brings it a little more to me and a little higher up.
Oh, it's so the like yeah the coffee table that becomes the office
instead of you know hunched over.
That's pretty
and
good.
And then I'm too sick to play games.
You were that sick?
I was that sick.
Watch movies?
I watched a few movies, but I was in such a weird daze. Like at night, I'd wake up at 3 a.m. like hallucinating, kind of.
Mike will do that.
Like, oh, look, Beavis is on the bed. And it wasn't Beavis. I don't know what it was, a fold in the in the bedspread or a raccoon. I don't know.
This doesn't sound like a cold.
It sounds like fucking heroin.
Yeah, I was going to say.
No, I don't know what it was. No, it's just awful. I hate. And then, you know, we've been off a while. It was nice Christmas Eve and Christmas Day with all my family and everything. That was all cool and everything. And then just being away from the city, like, was nice. And today, again, I get off that fucking train. And I just I walk upstairs into Penn Station. I'm looking like, motherfucker, they're all still here. They're all still here. Spare some change, please. Spare some change. You fucking bum. You bum. I hate them all. Spare some change. That woman. Spare some change, please. Spare some change, please. Spare some change, please. She does it like that. No! I hate everyone down there. Big, fat lumps of shit people with their knees, with their knee problems, big fatties with their knees. When your own fucking knees can't hold yourself up, do something! They're shaking. Their knees are like... Oh,
I like the ones who are asleep on like 35th and you know,
oh, yeah.
Broadway,
taking a snooze.
Yeah, it's like really that you're gonna sleep on the busiest street in the world.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
It's a good place to go.
Why wouldn't you? I'm just looking around, disgusted at everything.
I was fine till I saw an Asian man in women's UGG boots on the train.
Oh, there you go.
I was just like, oh yeah, I'm back here again.
Yeah,
where everything's acceptable.
There's just too many things that just annoy me, and being off for we were off for quite a while there, and it just gets me immediately. There's no like, all right, I'll deal. I'm just yeah, fuck this, fuck them, fuck everyone.
So, is positivity the New Year's resolution?
Oh, 2019, man. 2018 was a clusterfuck.
Oh, and it's...
And 2019 is just going to be, you know, the government's shut down something for the most part. Not that it matters. The trains work. Everything's still fine. I didn't notice. I haven't noticed the government shut down. Who gives a fuck?
Don't do anything, so it's fine.
Doesn't matter. And then, like, it just gets worse and worse with the PC non-fuck sense.
Dude, it's the worst.
Louis C.K. thing.
By the way, I've been doing...
Had me livid.
Dude, I've been doing stand-up comedy from the day I got off until yesterday, minus Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, no one gives a fuck in this country about PC.
Really? It's the crowds that are going...
Don't care.
They don't care. Who's outraged?
That's what I don't understand. Why are we... Like, at this point, honestly, why are we focusing this much on comedy? I even tweeted about it where I made a picture of Louis C.K. as Welcome Back Cotter and tweeted my opinion about it. And it's just that there's nothing wrong with being, like, unhappy with the way that society is going. There's nothing wrong with being critical or anything of...
Sure.
That's really what comedy is.
That is where it usually comes from.
And it's about pointing out hypocrisies while being a hypocrite. So it's like you talk about how everybody's a piece of shit, but you also acknowledge that you're a piece of shit. And who's better at that than Louis?
Oh, my God.
And the other part that I hate, he masturbated in front of two women who said yes. Let's just point that out.
Exactly.
And
it was consensual.
It was not an issue until he invited one of them, or one of them invited him to do a benefit show, and he didn't show up. Then all of a sudden she was sexually
assaulted.
Oh,
then there's
a
problem. That's such horse shit.
When is it enough? And then you have all these other comedians tweeting against him, where a year ago you would have fucking stepped on each other's necks.
Oh, yeah.
To open for this guy. And let's talk about the reality. The crowd in the video is laughing their fucking ass off.
It's amazing.
And it's great material.
It's hilarious. I'm listening to it, and obviously we don't have to sit here and explain Louis' fucking jokes to people.
No.
But apparently some people need it.
Well, because context is so important. Yeah, that's the picture.
It's about
my friend Ken did that with me. Yeah.
Look at the NPC.
And it's just David Hogg's all upset.
David Hogg, of course, is all pissed off with his guitar pick face.
Yes, and I drew a dick because that's just what I did in school.
That's on bulletin board, on blackboards. Yeah, I get so pissed off. The bit. We'll play a little bit of it. I think I added it in with the show prep. The bit itself isn't about dead kids, Parkland kids. He outraged people. Louis C.K. is making jokes about the dead kids at Parkland shooting. It's like, it's about the youth of America today and Louis remembering his youth and shit about, like, you just got high and fucked around and now that they're in front of Congress, you're a dumb kid. Shut the fuck up. I don't care what you're there for.
Right.
And then, you know, I don't care that you were in a school where kids got shot. That's the part that makes people go, oh, shit.
You're right.
And you laugh. And again, you're right. That crowd was fucking loving it.
Well, that's why you're supposed to laugh, because it's not an inappropriate take, because one, he shits on his own kids and has forever.
Right.
So he's using that angle to say, like, you're fucking 17. I don't give a shit what you have to say.
I don't care what you have to say.
Also, do you know how many people in black communities have lived through a shooting at their school?
Yeah, exactly.
Before this happened?
Yeah, yeah.
When you've never seen them all come out going, like, we were all victims.
And mentioning the school shooting is just to really drive home how much you don't give a shit what a kid that age has to say.
Right.
Because it's like, well, I don't give a fuck what they have to say, even if they're talking about, now you got to come up with something so big.
Right.
And so crazy that nothing else could top it. That's why he adds that in there, explaining to morons that wouldn't get it anyway. But it's really funny. It's Louis doing. I was talking with Kevin Brennan about this just before the show. Louis didn't change one iota. The Louis you're seeing now is the same Louis before any of the controversy.
We said the same thing.
This new, like, ultra offensive Louis. He didn't double down on anything. No. This is what Louis does. This is the shit he jokes about.
Here's the problem. Louis realized that groveling and apologizing isn't going to get his career back. It's just going to make him lose $35 million.
Here you go.
So instead of set of the limelight, he said, fuck you, and he went back into it. And also, it's an illegally leaked tape anyway.
Yeah.
So that's just, you know, legally besides the point. But he's back because he's just finding out, like, well, you're not going to be on my side. And he was kind of getting into the social justice realm before this happened.
Yeah.
He was doing very left material.
It was.
And he fell on his fucking own swords that he was starting to set up.
Lefties love doing that shit.
And they hate that Louis's back, and because he's saying, fuck you, I'm just going to do this anyway.
He should be another guy that just disappears and is never heard from again because they deemed you a problem. They deemed you politically incorrect. So you should be gone. How dare he come back to cheering audiences? Huh. How dare he?
Well, and Judd Apatow immediately tweets about it, and hands off to Sam Tripoli for immediately calling him out, which was, your best friend molested her sister. And you're going to sit there and tell me that there's something wrong with Louis. Well, it's Lena Dunham.
Yeah.
Fuck her.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, like, Lena Dunham molested her sister and lied about being raped in college.
Yeah.
It's Judd Apatow's cash cow. So it's like, you're gonna defend that?
Of course.
Like,
this dude doing shit.
Dude, he's garbage. And watch
Judd's
his last
asshole.
Special.
He's not funny.
It's fucking road hack shit.
It's all his stand-up. He gets time at some of the biggest clubs around the country because he's Judd Apatow. now.
Absolutely.
There are comics that are so much fucking funnier than him that can't get a minute on those stages, and he's getting it because he's Judd Apatow. People are agreeing with him and saying, you go, Judd, because they have this fantasy of being in one of his fucking movies that are all about misogyny and fucking guys and fucking and all really, the shit that he deems horrible.
Really super bad and Knocked Up.
Super Bad, hilarious.
Yeah, they're good movies.
Super Bad's a hilarious movie because it's about young guys being pieces of shit.
That's my point. It's like, it's so hypocritical because this is what he does, the same humor.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
The same humor that Louis was doing.
Yeah.
And everybody acts like there's this new value system that they've always been a part of. Like, I've always ever since I was born, I've called people X, Y, and Z and cisgender.
Right.
I've always been woke.
Yeah.
If being woke is being offended, like, this whole thing is the blob, and it just consumes everything and keeps growing and
it
growing.
It gets bigger, yeah.
Because there's no fucking borders. There's no barriers.
No.
It's just let everything bother you. And as a stand-up, it's like, it's just comedy. It's a dude doing stand-up comedy. Who gives a fuck this?
I honestly don't think anyone is outraged. Not even just the crowds.
No one's outraged.
No one's really outraged. They're collecting bodies. That's what they're doing. They just get one. They chalk it up as a win. And then they just move on to the next one. And like I say, you should never rear your head up again. Once they take you down, you're supposed to stay down. And Louis's not doing that. So they say, Louis's doubling down on something. Or Louis outrage. They get something from 2011 of him dropping N-bombs with fucking Chris Rock. And shit. And it's hilariously funny. It's shocking a little bit. But that's what comedy is. And no one in that room was offended. No one watching it was offended.
The person recording it is laughing the whole time.
Of course.
Nobody mentions that either.
And that's supposedly, you know, this many years later, we're supposed to dig back and go, wow, what a piece of shit. Fuck you. And any comic, any of these younger comics or what have you, even established comics that are criticizing Louis.
Especially established comics.
Just go fuck your mothers.
How many of them have skeletons in their closet?
All of them.
All have dark shit we've done.
Comics are all a bunch of deranged assholes.
Yeah, I agree. And I am one. we're not role models.
No, no.
That's what I don't understand. When did this start? The comedians should be role models.
Yep.
We're not.
It started with when comedians, when they started wanting applause instead of laughs.
But that's what it is now. It's pandering. And
yeah.
I even wrote that in my tweet. I
totally.
Go, it is the complete antithesis of comedy to do safe material and pander. It's not what stand-up's supposed to be.
Yep.
I don't want to stand on a stage and have people be like, oh, that's...
So, how pertinent.
I want people to hold their faces and look down.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Christ. I loved it.
And I tell true stories, and I am a storyteller, and I talk about my life, and I talk about how I'm a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Because that's what you should have, vulnerability. Yeah. And Louis has that. All good comics had that. Pryor had that. Everybody. Louis shit on himself as much as he shit on everybody else, and that is what a sign of a good comic. Robert Schimmel, you know, like Jim Norton. Jesus
Norton's
Christ.
A fucking pro at that.
Complete vulnerable guy on stage.
Yeah, you have
to. Show the chinks in your armor, and then you get to shoot at other people.
Yeah. And that's what he's done, and just this bullshit of trying to elevate yourself and your career by shitting on other people, so these assholes will go, oh good, he's on our side, until you do something, and then they throw you the fuck out.
Judd Apatow's not even going to retweet your response to him, let alone do anything for your career.
Yeah, yeah, I wouldn't worry about what Judd Apatow's fucking doing. Besides shitting on people, doing lousy stand-up at clubs that other comics that are really good can't get in, and enabling heroin addicts.
And dude,
that's pretty much it.
Yeah, and that's what I loved about Tripoli is Tripoli told him, he goes, we'll never forget that you used a cheat code to start getting on stage again.
Yeah.
Like, good for you, Sam.
That's
like, granted, he's burnt every bridge imaginable, but the motherfucker's honest, and that's why I respect him.
Been honesty right there. I'm not into taking any phone calls.
Yeah.
I've had it.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, we did see that.
So fucking disgusted.
It's just why? Sorry.
Let's play. No, we'll play a little bit of Louis. This is from the Louis the Bootleg Tape, available on Netflix.
Available everywhere.
apparently.
Available on where Gavin has been banned from.
yeah. This before we play this, a quick thing also is comics work material out. They work shit out. They go in front of crowds because it's the only place you could do it. There's not a comic simulator out there where you could work your material out. You have to get in front of a live audience and do some shit and read the crowd. Is that working? Oh, it's kind of working, but there's a part in it that, you know, wasn't going over too well, so I'll fix that. I'll do this. You guys are constantly maneuvering your words, the fucking setup, the structure of jokes, and this all has to be done in front of a live crowd. It's not like a play. You don't start rehearsal day with a live fucking play and go out and just go, all right, here it is, and work it and have the director come out and go, well, you have to stand here. The crowd wouldn't stand for it.
And mind you, how nervous Louis probably is knowing that he thinks half the room thinks he's a pervert.
Right, exactly.
I'm sorry, the entire room knows he's a pervert. So he's already working that out when he goes up on stage.
Yeah.
And I've been part of where the first time I did a thing for Comedy Central was called Live at Gotham in 07. And Virginia Tech happened the day before it aired, and I had a 2-minute closer about school shootings.
Oh, Jesus.
So everybody's was 7 minutes, and mine was like 5:10.
Yeah, huh?
They called me and were like, we're really sorry, but, you know, we don't want to. And this was 11 years ago.
Yeah.
12 years ago. So I get that, like, taking precautions and worrying about school. But again, it wasn't about how funny school shootings were.
Not at all.
It was the joke and story was a true story about how inappropriately my school handled Columbine.
Oh, okay,
It was about, and I don't remember even the bit.
You're talking about Louis' thing, because Louis' thing isn't about a school shooting either.
No, this was because I was a senior when Columbine happened.
Junior,
and they decided to do a thing called lockdown. it was like the first one, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if we pull the fire alarm, you get under a desk and you hide under it, and the teacher will lock the door, and it's like, what if there's a fire?
Yeah, how about the fire?
Wrap ourselves in a room? Secondly, it's like, aren't we just sort of targets at that point?
Yeah.
If there's a shooter, we're just going to trample each other and try to make it to the door. Let's be honest. That's the play.
And he'll be shooting.
Yes. Like, that's what you do, is wherever you hear the bang, you go the other way.
Yeah. Like, that's the usual tactic.
Yeah, and I don't remember the full bit, but it got a huge applause then.
Yeah.
And they cut it out.
Yeah.
And I don't blame them, but...
No, there are certain things that obviously, sensitivity timing-wise, there are a lot of things that can change if you do a bid or whatever. But the working out an act in front of a live crowd is something that's been done forever with comics. And that's why recording them and putting it out while they're still working something out is just such a scummy thing to do. There's really nothing you could do about it, so it will happen. But even scummier is then judging someone on that recorded material, whether it's simple as judging if they're funny or not, or some social fucking commentary about taking it completely out of context and saying that he's joking about that. Louis was working that joke out. As a matter of fact, Kevin Brennan also said he was with Louis at Governor's one night when he tried doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it was good, but it wasn't really, people were a little bit like,
Yeah.
And what he did in this recording is a different version. He worked it out.
Right.
He saw what the crowd response was, and he keeps, you know, working it until it works. And apparently it was working. So, and comics should understand that part of it. They, more than anyone, should understand that part.
Dude, 100%. And any comic who's yelling at him, criticizing him, great comics make it look easy. That's why every asshole in America thinks they can do stand-up or tries to be funny. And then when they try, they eat shit.
This guy I work with down there at the plant?
Oh, every time.
Fucking put him on your show.
No, you got to come to my office. There's this guy, right? He's got a coffee cup with tits on
it. Dude, you want comedy?
You come
to where I work every day.
This guy ate a guy's lunch, right? And we're like, we know it was Steve, but he didn't admit
hilarious,
it.
Hilarious, dude.
Stuff.
Larry, where do you work? The abortion clinic.
Yeah, it's good. Hilarious. You ever throw a kid in the trash who's got eyelashes already?
We work at Memorial Sloan Kettering.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. You ever watch a clown play guitar for a dying kid? Oh, good times.
Hilarious.
It's a real Patch Adams.
They make fun of dying children.
Yeah.
So let's play some of Bluey here.
Anybody criticizing him, you couldn't do what he does. Shame on you for judging him and thinking that you have that ability.
And try to listen to this and think it's him making fun of school shootings. Then you're retarded for thinking that.
It doesn't have to be that nasty. But it can be. I don't know. They testify in front of Congress. These
you should
kids
move a little more.
I know.
What are you
but
doing?
He's a great ventriloquist.
Good.
You're young. You should be crazy. You should be.
Yeah,
unhinged.
He's had to put that puppet away ever since he played with in front of those two girls.
Fuck you. You're not interesting. Because you went to a high school where kids got shot? Why does that mean I have to listen to you? How does that make you interesting? You didn't get shot. You pushed some fat kid in the way. I mean, now I gotta listen to you talking?
See how it's the immediate reaction where people know it's wrong.
Right,
so they're trying not to laugh.
But it's that, shit, he didn't just say that.
Yeah, it's like when you were in, like, school and somebody farted or did something wrong and you couldn't laugh, but the more you couldn't laugh, the funnier it got.
How did people forget that that's a type of humor?
It's comedy. It's building up tension and then releasing it. That's
how
the best comedy.
How did people forget that? Like, it's been around forever. That type of what you call a gallows humor or dark humor, whatever it is, how did they forget that it's such a big part of comedy where when that part comes out, that's that moment.
It's the release tension.
Oh, shit. No, that's fucking hilariously grim.
And it's the same as like when I do Catholic Church bits because I tie it to when a guy tried to pick me up when I was 10 in my own act.
There you go.
It's like people don't want to laugh, but it's the true story of the only reason why I'm not dead is because he had a shitty choice of candy. So it's – and it makes people laugh. And it's like you have to find the humor in that because if we don't laugh at these things, what else are we supposed to do? That's what I don't understand. It's how I deal with everything.
Yeah.
By laughing at it. If I didn't, I would have no outlet and I would kill myself.
Exactly. That's what humor is often used for. And to interpret that as making fun of pedophilia is ridiculous, or, you know, Louis making fun of school shooting. It's not.
And he makes a point. He's like, you did get out of the building, so you probably did push some slower
kid out of the way.
It's very visual.
And again, it's that whole thing of
stolen valor almost.
And he goes right to the pinnacle of, like, I don't want to hear what a kid has to say, even if.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Even if. And when you're sitting there trying to think of a joke, like, how can I convey to an audience that I don't give a fuck what this kid has to say?
Exactly.
I have to come up with something that, like, most people would be like, oh, my God, we got to listen to this.
Absolutely.
So you just go, all right, that's it. The school shootings. That's it. Yeah. Luis J. Gomez.
What is up,
there
gents?
He is. The Puerto,
I'm wearing a green shirt.
Puerto Rican rattlesnake.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, you're keying out on
you
your
gotta
shirt.
You got to
get a black shirt. I'll be right back.
That's yeah? You want to zip it up? Or?
You can zip it up. It might be hot, though. What, you got
a shirt? I think you could just zip up the Boston thing.
Actually, I think it's the 20 is the 20.
I don't know if he thinks it'll work. You can't see through the Boston shirt. That would be an interesting concept.
I wore that.
Zip that up.
I did that with a yellow shirt one day.
Yeah.
And it's still
keyed out a little bit.
Yeah, broke my heart.
It'll happen.
Under the giant Hulk Hogan shirt.
There's a little bit of this. People are very sad that Mean Gene Okerlund
tweeted about it.
Died.
I mean, he was old, but he was awesome.
Yeah, but I don't know why people are so sad. It says he's mean right in his name.
That's true. He wasn't a friendly guy.
Like, did you hear asshole Bob Smith just died?
I always thought.
I feel horrible about shithead Michael Brown just died.
I don't know if it was him, but I always thought he was the Micro Machines guy when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I thought it was the same dude.
Same dude. There he is.
Here we go.
Mean Gene Okerlund
died.
There he goes. Yeah, he was very funny. His interviews with Andre the Giant.
I put up a picture of him and Andre.
Yeah, that one's great.
There he is.
Oh, Jake the
Snake Roberts.
Jake is just
and he'd be afraid of the snake. And he just, what a great showman. And
this is the pre-steroids era as well. Like, look at man tits.
Oh, you can't find people like this anymore.
Dude, I met him. He hates snakes. He's so fucked up.
Jake?
Now. Jake's gotta stop taking painkillers and stuff.
Yeah. Did Sam Roberts actually return to the Jim and Sam show today after vacation with the death of Mean Gene? He might be in mourning.
He might be. Sure.
There we go. So Mean Gene. Mean Gene dead.
Lost so many snakes.
Yeah, so many snakes.
Just high on crack.
Yeah, there you go. That is fantastic.
Anthony. Yeah, that's when I put up. That's such a good
God, pick. I love it.
It shows you have the same hair as Andre the Giant.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I definitely had that. That was my hair back in the day. That was my hair. Jesus Christ. They get that. He couldn't even speak.
Yeah.
It was giant.
And he was drunk a lot.
He was drunk a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He drank like 2/5 or something in the ring with Jake the Snake, and he was supposed to just fall on his chest, but not really.
Oh,
but
no.
He did. So it was just like an elephant, and his chest was just crushed.
Yeah, that'll fuck you up. That guy weighed like, 300 and something, 400, 500 pounds.
I just assume that every pro wrestling personality from the 80s and 90s is already dead. So when I find out that they die now, I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Mean Gene's alive.
Well, he was old, or not, you know, relatively speaking. Now he's old. And then relative to wrestling. He's very old.
The steroid era, though, of the 90s, like Benoit and Eddie Guerrero, they're all done.
Well, you know what it is, though? Mean Gene wasn't fucking taking steroids.
No, he's not.
He was on there. Like, his character was a fucking...
Yeah, he was... Yeah, I think he's...
He was, boring side announcer guy. Yeah,
76,
straight man.
He lived a good life.
Yeah. He was the straight man to the wrestlers who were the guys that were doing the flamboyant speeches. And,
but it's a little bit...
he's dressed very like a Howard Cosell, though.
Yeah.
Very serious.
Yeah, but it's underappreciated what you know he would do.
Oh, absolutely, because it was a good, like, everyone knew the fake thing of wrestling.
Yeah.
So to have somebody that played it up as a straight sports commentator was hilarious.
He had to do a legitimate interview with Macho Man
with and Randy Savage and fucking Jesse the Body and shit like that.
Tassels hanging off your shirt.
Yeah. As Jesse threw his boa around.
Yeah, or just a sweaty Hulk Hogan flipping his fucking skull around. Asking him about his moves.
Yeah, the guy was fucking good. He was a big part of the heyday of WWF.
How old was he?
WWE.
76.
76, something like that. And then the other death is...
I think McMahon will outlive him, only because he has enough money.
Alvin Einstein. What's his name from...
Super Dave Osborne.
What's that?
Super Dave. Yeah.
Super Dave died?
I don't remember Super Dave Osborne, and then Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Really? I love Super Dave. I didn't know that happened.
Yeah.
He's Albert Brooks' brother.
Yeah, Albert Brooks' brother. He just recently died, like today or something.
Dude, I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, he's dead.
Well, I'm done.
There he is.
He was great on that.
Yeah.
I loved his Showtime show with Fuji.
And he had
his Asian sidekick.
Really?
Yeah, it was just Super Dave. It was a dummy. He would do all the stunts.
Oh, see, I remember Super Dave. He would be on what shows? What's that?
It was bizarre.
Oh,
Yeah.
He was just a funny, whack, weird guy.
Show was, like, terrible, but I loved it. He had a cartoon, too, where he would just get injured. That was the whole thing.
Yeah, that was his whole gimmick. They would put a dummy in place.
Yeah.
When it would be actually do the stunt.
Very obvious dummy.
An obvious dummy.
That gag will never get old.
No.
Yeah, like that.
Silly, evil Knievel.
Don't do anything until I say go. What they're going to try to do is crush me with an 11-ton metal...
People love it.
I love that show, man.
People love
it. My dad and I would watch
it. There's always a guest on variety shows and things like that.
Yeah.
I pop on. So, abananam. Goodbye. Arrivederci.
Too bad.
Luis J. Gomez, thank you for
what's going on?
Showing up here today. Of course, Legion of Skanks, Real Ass Podcast, Believe You Me, podcast all on Gas Digital Network. And Louis J. Gomez presents LouisJGomez.com.
Yeah, that I mean, that website's still out there. That's where you'll be able to pick up the album when we drop it in the next couple months.
What do you want to drop it for? It could scratch. Then you have to get a new stylus.
Yeah, yeah.
The needle. I'm very tired and very sick.
I like it. I have no problem with it, Anthony. That's not a bad joke.
Very sick and very tired. Figuratively and literally.
So you want to do this whole show as an old Jewish mother?
Yes, my goodness gracious.
How long have you been off, though? You've been off for, what, a week?
It was the Thursday before Christmas. Yeah. Shit.
It's easy. You should have, one new topic every day, in and out. It's so easy. So much has happened since you've been away.
And we only got, Wednesday and Thursday.
I know. It's all done.
So it's fucking, 2 days. To finish up with the Louis thing, though, Pete Davidson took a jab at Louis.
Oh, what did Pete
say? I can't even goof on Pete anymore because I feel bad for the guy. He's really a pathetic fucking mess. And that's coming from somebody that understands comics.
Well, I'm sure that somebody who got SNL at 18 has never done anything sexually weird.
No, I'm
probably not out. Though. Not this generation. Because I'm 36 years old, and I'm afraid to fuck a chick that is what's it called? Drunk. Yeah. Drunk.
That's true.
You know,
right.
If she's claiming to be some sort of feministy type,
boy,
fuck
you're
that, Gunsky. Dude. Yeah, opposite
direction.
There
should be some kind of app where it's we're both consenting to this, and then you have
I'm sure there is.
You would challenge that, too, I'm sure.
Consent app.
Someone had my phone. I was drunk. You got to blow into a breathalyzer. you're just plugging things in. All right, you're sober.
Here, close your eyes and blow into this, honey.
Scent. That's now you take
you
out
blow
the
into
other
this.
Thing.
All right.
Put it in. Now take a vaginal fucking, see if it's lubed up enough.
Yeah.
Oh, the excitement level isn't quite there.
Because it really wouldn't work if it was just your fingerprint, because that could be manipulated.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I guarantee there's an app where you both download it, and it's a consent app, and it's, if there isn't, we should fucking make it. That's
before
brilliant.
You know it,
you've ruined everything.
Yeah. Everything is ruined.
But people have sex before beer. When I met my wife, or before, every girl I was with was probably loaded.
Well, they're still doing it. I just think that since young people live on social media their whole lives, they're living a much larger percentage of their lives there, and they don't really disconnect from it. So I think because that whole world, it's there's all these, and it's probably a better thing. The fact that there's really no gray area anymore, which, look, the gray area is what gets my dick hard. If I couldn't play in the gray area, I don't even know what to say. I was talking to my son's mother about that recently. It's the first time we hooked up, dog, we're in the back of a cab. She's like, no, I don't want, not in the back of a cab. Are you crazy?
That's gray area.
It was such a gray area.
That's right.
I got her pregnant.
Oh, my God, you Hispanics.
But
you just get pregnant at the drop of a fucking
20
burrito.
No's and a yes means yes.
Yeah, yeah. No. See?
But I think the game of cat and mouse was kind of hot back in the day.
It is, right?
But now, in today's day and age, fuck
that,
dude.
For hard to get.
That was the part of society, though, was that the girl was supposed to be like, oh, no, I don't want this. She had to kind of play that role while I dominated a little.
That was a whole thing, and there was part, and it was hot, but now it's not. So somebody like Pete, who's 23 years old now, he's from a different generation. People, I don't think the game of cat and mouse exists as much today for them as it did for us.
Well, especially not for him. You can just be like, I'm on SNL. Who wants to suck?
Yeah, there's no cat and mouse.
No, there's no. He said, let's see. Oh, he was talking about Alan Rickman, known for playing, of course, Snape in the Harry Potter movies. He died the day after Davidson got a tat relating to the franchise, relating to a Harry Potter. Then I got a Willy Wonka tattoo. Next day, Gene Wilder dies. Now I'm like, all right, that's a coincidence. That's weird, he continued. So I'm thinking of getting a tattoo of Louis C.K. What do you guys think? I mean, it's a joke, obviously.
That's
but
fine.
It's like, the funnier joke would be, doesn't fate or doesn't the Grim Reaper know I got a tattoo of Hillary? Because he did. He got a fucking Hillary
Clinton true.
Tattoo. And she still walks the fucking earth.
He has a Hillary Clinton tattoo?
He does.
Oh, yeah.
Tattoo. Yeah.
He got one and then talked about how he wanted a strong woman and fucking shit. Yeah.
Well, with that joke, it's just, that's simply pandering. That is back in the day. When I started comedy, it was guys giving up for the troops. That is just that version of today.
Don't worry, they're still doing that.
Yeah.
Give it up for the troops.
But, you know, so he's just pandering. I'm not going to fault a guy. I can't shit on somebody for making a joke that I don't agree with when I make jokes that a lot of people don't agree with. So, you know, more power to him. But it's just some fucking, you know, for people to call what Louis did easy, it's like...
I was just saying that, yeah.
That is the fucking easiest, most pandery horseshit in the world.
And that's what the problem is now everything is becoming pandering. Everybody's doing safe comedy, and it shouldn't be rewarded. You're pandering to the exact dialogue that you want people to believe. You want people to believe that narrative.
Right.
You know they're going to clap. You know it's safe.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's not challenging a crowd. It's not doing anything.
Yep.
Did you listen to the Louis set?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I listened to a few minutes. I felt bad. I felt like I shouldn't be listening to it because he was...
Yeah, I know. That's just... It's like, you know, the fappening. You had to look at the pictures.
Of course. Well, I feel like...
It was an invasion of people's privacy, but...
Yeah.
I feel like that would have been... That crime would have been all for nothing had I not jerked off to those fappening photos.
Right, right.
That's true.
Those were better than porn. Like I think the fappening pics were fucking great.
Some of them, yeah. Some of them were fucking finishable.
I mean, some of them, yeah. It's like...
For what was her? Lawrence.
Jenlo.
Yeah, it's like you really fucking pose for these things.
Yeah, yeah. That's what you realize. Like, a lot of these actresses are just little hooas.
Yeah.
They fucking pose and they...
Well, everybody, they're just people.
They love being in the tub and taking pictures in the bathtub.
Doggy, everybody does that. Look, everybody likes taking a picture of their fucking tits and their dicks and sending it to somebody else. They're all just people. Strip away the jobs, strip away the fame, strip away everything else.
Right.
It gets that voyeurism gets them turned on, and you find out that everybody does it. I mean, every girl that I've ever dated has let me take naked pictures of her. Yeah. Literally all of them. Even ones that don't want me to. We fucking do it, and you know, it's a game of cat and mouse.
I was watching a movie. The fappening came up over the course of the vacation because I was watching a movie. It was that the ballad of Scruggs? What's that movie? Coen Brothers' new movie. It's like a...
Buster Scruggs.
Buster Scruggs. Okay. The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. It's on Netflix, something like that. Netflix. I watched that one, and it's pretty good. It gets a little long and a little slow toward the end. There's a bunch of different stories in it. It's like an anthology kind of a thing of a Western, but it looks great. The beginning is funny as fuck.
Is it Amazon or is it Netflix?
Is it?
Netflix? It's Netflix, yeah.
Netflix, okay.
So,
it's a Coen Brothers.
Yeah, it's Coen Brothers.
Yeah, I'm just surprised. Okay.
Fucking great, though. I mean, they make a Western look like a fucking amazing Western.
Dude, every movie they make is
looks good. And the actors and actresses are always fucking spot on these. Some of the gunplay is violent as fuck. And the stories are really interesting and compelling and...
Oh, so there are a bunch of, like, mini-stories?
Yeah, yeah. There are a bunch of little kind of, like, five or so of these stories of the Old West.
They always have great wardrobe in every movie, too. It's always very Coen-esque.
Yeah, yeah. It just looks... Like, that's no fucking
no, it's beautiful.
CGI.
Well, even Raising Arizona.
This character is hilarious at the beginning of the very beginning of the movie.
Am I weird? I just don't... There's something about a movie going into the movie theater that I appreciate.
Really?
And going directly on Netflix, for some reason, I don't know why, I treat it like a direct-to-DVD movie.
Yeah, yeah. I hear you.
Now, the TV shows on Netflix, I like some of them. I'm digging it. I get where they're going with it. I understand the idea of binge-watching it. But when they say, we're going to make a movie and put it direct to fucking stream...
I get you,
I'm just used to that being
I'm
as good.
I'm past that now.
I haven't gotten past it.
I haven't watched a single one.
There's not a single movie that I've watched that Netflix has produced.
But I'm surprised, though, that it's a Coen Brothers movie. That's why I asked what it was on. Because
Didn't Will Smith have one recently? They have huge fucking...
The people that... Really? Yeah. I think more people...
It's like Spielberg going right to Netflix. It's weird, right?
It is.
It's going to happen eventually. Yeah. I just feel like Netflix... They should almost do like a limited run in theaters or something and then go to
that. But that's the whole reason they do it. Like, I wouldn't watch a Netflix original by fucking Jim and Bob Dumbfuck.
The Dumbfuck brothers.
Very good filmmakers.
When I hear the Coen brothers have a movie that's on Netflix, I'm fucking watching
it. I'm going to watch it.
So, like, I guess it works for Netflix because they get people to watch movies that normally they wouldn't watch on Netflix.
Well, even like...
Especially if it goes in the theater, right? And then it comes out of the theater, you got eight other places to watch it.
Yeah.
If it's just Netflix, Now you can only watch it on Netflix.
It's so like, is there anybody subscribing to Netflix because they hear the Coen brothers?
I know.
Have a movie.
I never understood that.
It's bizarre.
That either,
like,
I think it's about
keeping them though. Subscribe.
Yeah. They invest all their money back into content. They're producing crazy amounts of content.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Are they even making money, Netflix?
I don't think they make a lot of money.
They don't make money, right? All these companies you hear about, it, like Amazon, they're fucking $80 billion on the hold. Like what? Amazon, really? What's going on here?
I don't know.
You try to take Hollywood and just make it part of your shipping company.
It's fucking crazy.
It is the weirdest thing. Like, Amazon's making movies. Wait, aren't they like UPS or something?
What are you talking about?
They picked up my fucking movie. I'm happy.
A new FedEx original movie.
You mean the company that made my doggy bags?
Yeah. How the fuck?
The same company that made my shit bags.
Oh, right.
Is producing my favorite TV
producing
show.
Producing TV.
Okay.
I don't get it, but it seems to be working.
The same company where I get my everything.
Yeah, where I get everything.
Taking over now.
Every day, Amazon or delivery from Amazon is coming to your door.
I think I'm going to the store and then I look at my phone and I'm like, oh, that's reasonable.
I don't fuck
every day.
Do you know what else is an amazing accomplishment these days? I didn't leave my house. Like, people always joke, oh, Anthony never leaves his house. And that's for the most part, but I do go out every so often. From Christmas Day until 1:30 this afternoon, I did not leave my house. I didn't leave my house. I'm not even talking. I didn't open my door and put my hand out and go, hey, what's the temperature out there? Didn't leave.
Yeah.
And I didn't care. Didn't want for anything. Didn't need for anything. I got Seamless, so deliveries come to the door. Yeah. I got fucking my video games. I got whatever
movies.
Else, TV, movies.
I mean, your house is also different than my house.
But it's...
You have a movie theater, you know, gym.
But, I just watched...
People leave the house to go to those things.
Right. I
would
rather
girls tied up
house.
In the basement.
And I think that's why when I get to Penn Station, I'm like, get me the fuck away from these people that aren't in my house.
I don't blame you. You've earned it.
Never been in my house. No, it's...
In my basement is giant TV, comfortable couch.
That's all you need.
I just want to sit there all day.
I need to move the fuck out of the city. I have a two-bedroom, two-bath in New York City, which is, like, impressive in New York City.
Yeah.
And then I go to a home, like, somebody's actual home, and I'm like, it's just a nightmare. It's like, in New York City, like, the radiator always just makes a noise.
Yeah.
It's just like a hissing that I just have to... That's part of my life.
It's part
just
of your
a
life.
It's a loud hissing, like, there's a fucking serpent that lives in my walls.
Yeah.
And I deal with that. You live in New York City, you spend nearly $3,000 a month in rent, and like, you're like, sorry, that's just.
Yeah. And there's nothing you can do.
It gets loud as fuck. It's 6 a.m. and doesn't stop.
Oh, yeah, there's no temperature control. You can't actually control your temperature in New York City. It's like the heat's on. And
isn't that ironic that you're
that sucks.
You're the Puerto Rican rattlesnake, and you're upset with that noise.
I know. You think
really
I'd be able to fix it.
Weird.
You think I'd be able to fix it being Puerto Rican?
Yeah, if you can't fix it, we're all fucked.
Well, being Puerto Rican, I'm just surprised you have heat.
Yeah.
You know, normally a problem. I had that going on over the weekend.
And real quick, you're going to have Sam Tripoli on line one. We're just a couple minutes behind schedule on him calling in.
Oh,
I love Sam Tripoli. I love
that.
I'm assuming
here.
It's about his
tweet. I brought it up. Yeah. I was
fucking phenomenal.
Brought it up.
Love Sam. Sam's a fucking awesome. Real ass dude.
Yes, he is.
That's the thing that, like, you know, everyone's so afraid to not get booked and shit. So that's why everyone shut up.
I know.
Nobody behind closed doors believes Louis even really did anything wrong.
No.
Of course
people
they don't.
People won't even say anything.
Well, how about the fact that we all knew about it?
No. Hold on. We didn't even know about it, Anthony. People thought it was way worse.
Yes, way worse.
We thought that Louis C.K. held
they
the door
still
closed.
Do.
They thought they held the door closed which and he wouldn't let these girls leave. Yet everybody still wanted to work on his TV shows. They wanted to open up for him at the Garden. They wanted to rub elbows with him at the Comedy Cellar. Nobody said shit until it was a popular thing to
let
start
him host
saying
SNL
shit.
SNL 50 fucking times.
Nobody gave a fucking. Everyone knew the rumors. Everyone thought it was substantially worse.
Yep.
Everyone I knew. If I'm nobody. Everyone in the fucking industry knew this.
I found out in 2006 HBO Comedy Festival when he was there. I was in an elevator with him and Jeremy Piven, and then somebody told me a story. And I was like, really, that happened? And then I never thought about it again.
No.
So I was like, isn't that what they do
and
in
now
Hollywood?
It's just some kind of fucking issue. Sam?
He got a yes.
Yes, Sam. What's
he
up,
said
man?
Yes.
How's it going? Can you hear me?
That this, but we could kind of hear you.
you guys have music on, or is it me? Hold on.
I think that's you.
It's you.
Okay, there we go.
Hi, wonderful. There we go. How you doing, Sam?
Killing it, dude. Killing it. Can't complain. Life is great. Thanks for doing my show when you came out, man.
Oh, it was awesome. Fucking great time. How are people reacting to your tweet?
And congrats.
Yeah.
I mean, all pretty positive. I only have one person tell me to shut the fuck up. The rest of it was...
Is it Judd?
Pretty positive. I got a lot of comments from comics hitting me up, thanking me for saying it. You know, at the end of the day, it's like, I don't have any personal against Judd. It's just more about a statement on stand-up comedy and how, like, I just don't think we should be ever limiting what comics should say or shitting on other comics for taking chances. And the notion that it's hacky and lazy is just ridiculous. Like, if you want to go up and do dad comedy, go do dad comedy. But don't get mad at the people who go out there and take a chance. Like, imagine if he said that to drama. Imagine if he said that to, like George Carlin or Richard Pryor or Sam Kennison. He'd never had the balls to do that.
No. If it was hacky, it wouldn't have gotten the reaction that it did.
Yeah. Yeah, and also, well, Sam, by the way, this is a fellow real-ass dude, Puerto Rican rattlesnake, Luis Che Gomez here.
I love you, buddy.
What's going on, buddy? I was one of those people that sent you a text message, but I was also one of the people that fucking retweeted you and called you a real-ass dude. How annoying is it? And how many people do this fucking pussy shit where they just send you a text and go, dude, thanks for fucking saying something, but publicly they don't say a fucking word?
Yeah, I don't really, you know, dude, I'm with you on that in a way, but at the same time, I'm not asking for anyone to back me up, and these guys have, you know, these people have their own careers. I'm dead, my career, I was left for dead, I got nothing to lose, so I just kind of go for it. I'm my own pirate, I'm the captain of my own pirate ship, so they can't really affect me. I made my own crowd, I make my own money, nobody affects that, I control all that, so... The gatekeepers can't do anything, so I don't really care if anyone jumps in or doesn't jump in. You know, that was just, you know, a long time ago, Judd Apatow got on an award show, and he laid into Jerry Lewis when Jerry Lewis was like 85 years old and on the way out, laid into him about how, like, he said some negative stuff about female comics. And he laid into him, man. I remember just seeing an interview with Jerry Lewis going, this guy isn't long for this world. And how I thought, like, that was really not classy at all. And then 2 weeks later, Girls comes out. So he basically plastered this legend to perform the show. And I just don't appreciate that. I don't like comics who go after other comics. I think that's wrong. It's like right up there with male feminists. There's always an alternative to what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
There's always another thing you want to do. I don't respect that at all, man. You don't want to do that kind of comedy? That's fucking great. Don't do it. But don't go after people who take chances. That's the big problem with comedy right now. All comedy seen as equal, you know? And you need a spectrum. You got Ellen doing this. Well, you got to have Doug Stanhope, too. You can't think that what Ellen's doing and what Doug Stanhope's doing are the same freaking thing. Because they're not. One's trying a lot harder. I remember... A comic named John Caparillo went on stage, and he had followed Dave Attell. And everyone was like, oh, Caparillo killed harder than Attell. I go, they're trying to do two different things. That's like comparing Kill Bill and fucking Shrek. Yeah, they're both movies, but they're right. Both trying to do two totally different things.
Yeah, I've been reading Twitter and whatnot comics talking about the Louis C.K. thing, and anytime I see a comic giving him shit, it pisses me off. It's like the comics should know more than anybody. First of all, the simplest of the whole thing, that he's working on something, and it's not meant for public consumption at that time, and certainly not meant to be judged morally or even comedically based on some bootleg fucking tape.
His unworked hour is 40 times better than anything Judd Apatow will ever dream of writing.
Judd Apatow gets on fucking stage while talented comics can't get a second of stage time at any of these huge clubs around the country because he's Judd Apatow and they kiss his ass. And then he walks off the stage actually thinking he's good.
And on top of that,
fucking delusional.
why kick a man while he's down? Like, I just don't understand, like, this thing where we're like,
mob mentality is no balls, and that's what it all is.
But Louis is the guy that everyone's attacking, where it's like, are you going to protest Floyd Mayweather, who beat the fucking shit out of his wife and went to jail for it and fucking kidnapped a dude recently?
Right.
Go protest Chris Brown, who fucking beat the shit out of Rihanna and is out there making Grammy-winning records right now. Why? I don't understand why go after a guy who, at the very least, you could argue, fine, he was creepy. His offense was being kind of creepy. He didn't attack anybody.
Glass houses, my friend.
There's not real,
though. Yeah, I mean,
there's not real victims here. What are we fucking doing right now? So I don't understand why it's like Judd Apatow and Pete Davidson and all these people, they're taking their platform and their huge voice to attack somebody who, look, there's just fucking way worse. There's just way worse, and you're doing it because it's trendy and it's popular right now, and they're just trying to get clicks like anybody else, and it's so transparent and pathetic.
And realistically, it's the same as why a member of PETA will throw paint on an old woman in a fur coat and not a 300-pound black woman with a fur coat.
Yeah.
It's because it's easy and you can get away with it.
Hey,
it's
Sam.
It's just what he's saying.
Also, the black person didn't pay for that coat. So.
Oh, that's true.
Is he still there?
They stole it from the old lady.
Yo, Sam.
No, it looks like he awesome.
Punched out.
He killed himself. That was his biggest moment in his career.
That was it. Aw.
But there really is, like,
he's a good dude.
There's people challenging their audience. And the problem with comedy, there's always been this very 80s mentality of comedy is just comedy.
Yeah.
So you show up to a comedy club and you get pissed off if it's not the kind of person you want to see. Stanhope has a great point about that. He goes, you don't just show up and go, I want to see music.
Right,
and
right.
Get pissed when it's polka and not heavy metal. Mm-hmm. Like, research who you're going to see. Louis has done a style for the longest time. Nobody changed. Louis didn't change. The fucking agenda did.
Yeah, agenda.
And also, just don't go see him. That's the best thing right there. Just don't go see him. It's as simple as that. Why are you encouraging others to not go see this guy? What is the point? Like, you're somebody like Judd Apatow, you know, forget Pete made a joke on stage. They printed it. It wasn't like,
yeah, whatever.
Judd's going out and taking this big public stance, and it's like, you're purposely trying to make it so people don't go and spend money to see this guy. Don't go see him. Yeah. Who gives a shit? You know, it's just like,
he has just jumped on the fucking social justice warrior bandwagon.
Oh, he's made it his fucking mission.
Yeah, that's his, like, I read his tweets and I'm just like, ugh, every one of them is some pandering bullshit to try to ingratiate himself with some group of feminists or the border fucking stuff. This hacky, unfunny, shallow routine is just a symptom of how people are afraid to feel empathy. It's much easier to laugh at our most vulnerable than to look at their pain directly and show them love and concern. Louis C.K. is all fear and bitterness now. He can't look inward. Fear and bitterness now? Like, Louis has changed? He's the same Louis he was when he was hilariously funny before anything, any of these fucking bullshit things came up. So Louis never changed.
But can you put the tweet back up? I didn't mean to interrupt, but there's a really good point in here where he goes, it's easier to laugh at our most vulnerable. Right now, Louis is our most vulnerable.
Yeah, there you go. He's the guy.
It's completely ironic to say that, and it's apparently very, very hard to laugh at him right now. Mm-hmm. And why is...
I think he's referring to the
I know what he's saying.
Fucking killed
and again,
him.
And by the way, he wasn't goofing on school shootings.
But no, it's not a context, and of all people, Judd Apatow...
He was goofing on the kids who survived.
Goofing that kids should shut the fuck up.
He was goofing on the kids who survived, and it was like, why am I listening to you? Which I read the joke. You pull the fat kid in front of you and survive. What do you have to tell me about the world?
Which is a funny,
fucking hilarious.
So super bad though is about teen rape. Then right, it's about getting girls drunk and raping them.
Is that funny?
That's super
Judd
bad.
Finds
right?
that hilariously.
Or
here's my problem.
Underage drinking.
This is always the problem with what we do. Like, everybody does this. God. Then it becomes this volley, and we don't actually even believe that. But we're actually saying
that's
the
what
words.
I'm saying. I don't believe it at all.
I know. I don't.
Still saying the words. Going. It's like, oh well, I guess Superbad's about teen rape, and then becomes this volley where nobody cares.
Right.
Oh, that
nobody
is
really
so
gives a
funny.
Fuck. They're both
You're
trying
right.
to get
You're
each
right.
other.
You're absolutely right. I don't care, and I
Who
think
cares?
Superbad's
that's
hilarious.
Hilarious. It was a hilarious movie. I think most of Judd Apatow's movies are funny.
Yeah, you'll watch. We said that earlier.
And laugh my balls off. Yeah. It's hilariously
it's
funny.
It's one of the, it's the best.
That's right. Fuck Louis.
Fuck that guy.
My point is who gives
Louis done for me
lately? Who gives a fuck this much about stand-up comedy and entertainment? It's crazy. It's fucking crazy.
Let the guy fucking work and stop paying painting him as a Nazi, a comedian right. for the alt-right, it's horseshit. Because what you're doing is they printed in Vulture, they printed in these articles, they go, well, Louis is just now an alt-right comedian.
Alt-right
That just becomes
comedian.
The reality. It just becomes the narrative.
That's
and then
all you need is just to put it out there.
And the Twitter narrative, though, that feeds these things and allows people to make it, said specifically, Louis mocks school shooters and cisgender Americans. They feed the narrative into the fucking public, so you see that, you go, oh, that's what he did. You don't make a fucking rational choice on your own. You just follow this. You follow it like lemmings right off a fucking cliff, and that's dangerous.
Oh, the thing he goofed about with gender neutrality and using,
who gives a
using
shit?
They.
I don't even know what cisgender means.
And shit. Cisgender is a way to feminize straight men. By having the word cis,
is that what we
like
are? We
sissy in the name of like they can make a name for you and me and everybody. We can't make names for other people, but they deemed us cisgender because it sounds like sissy. I know what their motive was, and that was it. I will never not think that.
That's it. It's a big conspiracy.
I know it is.
9/11 was an inside job. No, but
it's
cisgender.
A blatant fucking tactic.
I really need a title to feel more like a lesbian.
I'm
I think
straight.
We're fine.
I'm a straight guy. That's it. I don't care about your dumb fucking terminology.
I don't.
I'm normal for however normal I could.
But it's also this very small sect of people in the world who want you to use those pronouns. Right?
Oh, I know.
It's not even the most. I know some. I'm a stand-up comic in New York City. I have a lot of friends who are straight up feminist liberal. I don't let politics dictate who I fucking hang out with. I don't give a fuck, right?
No.
So it doesn't really matter. We just don't discuss those things. But they don't give a fuck. They're not using those pronouns. They don't even know the pronouns to use. 99.9% of people in the world, even if they lean left or consider themselves feminists, that's just this kind of like, it's almost like Hasids versus Jews. So you're like, all right, well, they're not wearing the costume. I mean, who the fuck is that?
Right.
But it's this
Hasids.
Small people, get it? Hasids? We get what they're saying.
I want to show you this video, one of the best videos that came out over the course of the vacation. This woman, I'm just
oh, this is great.
Oh, this is
woman goes into a store, and the gentleman behind the counter does not address this woman as a woman. Addresses her as sir or mister, whatever it was. It was not the proper gender identity, and this woman just goes apeshit over it. I don't know how the guy made this error myself, especially after this lovely young lady starts getting very angry at the gentleman behind the counter. This, by the way, is where we are, ladies and gentlemen. The guy behind the counter caught all kinds of shit because he didn't identify this as a lady.
Did he get in trouble?
I guess virally on the internet, people are giving him shit. So let's see this.
You're not doing credit. You're going to give me my fucking money back.
Excuse me, sir. There's a young man in here.
Excuse me, it's ma'am. It is ma'am.
The funniest part of all.
Pause it for a second there.
So what happens there is a woman.
Excuse me, it's ma'am. That's a joke.
Well, here's what happens. He's chastising this dude who works at GameStop because I guess the dude said, excuse me, sir, whatever.
Right.
So he's freaking out. How dare you call me a sir? This woman who's not even paying attention is with her kid over here. Just here's this fucking obvious pro wrestler screaming
right.
at the top of his lungs.
Yeah. I can't remember the guy it looks just like. It's like
Brian Pillman.
Yeah.
She sees Brian Pillman freaking out. Yeah. So she doesn't know what happened. So she's like, excuse me, sir, you're scaring my child. So in the middle of his freak out about this, another person calls him sir, and that just sends him off the deep end. So it happens to be that moment.
Just lose it. Actually, kind of looks like the ass man.
I was going to say, I'm surprised he didn't call him Axel.
Because I'm an ass man.
Yeah.
It's like Mick Mars.
It's like fucking, Mickey Rourke.
It's like Jim Florentine.
It looks like anything but a woman.
Looks like
something
that Jim Norton would masturbate to.
All right.
He just left his apartment. She just left his apartment.
Anything but a woman. Now, look at how ladylike. Let's continue.
Look at the guy behind the counter. Sorry, ma'am.
You need to settle down and mind your business, okay? Ma'am. Once again, ma'am.
I said both of you.
No, you said sir. Once again, it's ma'am.
Oh, you're reacting like a lady.
Right beforehand, you fucking said sir. Motherfucker, take it outside. If you want to call me sir again, I will show you a fucking sir.
I will show you a
motherfucker.
Sir.
Motherfucker.
I apologize now.
All right, ma'am.
Yeah.
I need your corporate number. Because I'm going to call them and talk about how I was misgendered several times in this store.
Misgendered?
I need your corporate number now.
That's actually her name, Misgendered.
Yes.
Get it for me now.
No. No.
Give me your corporate number.
No, dude.
Well, I'm going to ask you for the fifth time to stop calling me a man. Because quite clearly, I am not.
Dude, I'm sorry. Fuck, bro.
Yeah.
Now, chief, fuck.
Get it for me now.
The guy's apologizing.
The guy is falling over himself trying to apologize, stammering, doesn't know what the fuck to do. And this monstrosity is in front of him because
that
could beat the living shit out of this little nerd.
Technically, couldn't you say, like, hold on, I don't use those pronouns. Like, I don't look at you
if
as
you
a
wanted
man
to be
or
nice,
a woman. I
could say that. Because I tell you, maybe I'm from what they call a different generation. But I certainly wouldn't be as nice as that guy. Like, really?
Well, usually I'm used to ladies that at places scream, let's go outside, I'll show you a man. That's
yeah.
Very feminist.
Like, first of all, if you were a chick, you wouldn't even be in a GameStop.
Right.
Yeah. Everyone knows gamers are dudes.
Why are you here, ma'am?
Yeah, what the fuck? God damn. You could get Minecraft online. You little fag.
What game do you think he was buying?
Yeah, I don't know. So like probably that goddamn Fortnite.
The Switch.
Switch. Ah, pretty good.
That's a good one.
Super Smash Brothers. Smash Sisters! It's Smash Sisters!
Right, Sisters!
I'm a woman. You can call me ma'am.
Smash whatever they want to be identified as.
Grandpa. It was Herman fucking Munster in a goddamn dress.
What I love, too, is so many of them are like, you know, you're clearly a man. Like,
yeah.
Like 8'12".
It's like, just stop already with that. Like, if someone
also, like,
you,
look,
deal.
You're right. That's the other thing. It's like, I've had
that happen, too.
I've had women, like, I've had times where I've called a woman sir when they were just simply, they had a short haircut and they worked at Starbucks or whatever, and it was an accident.
Kids have it happen all the time. Where,
it's an accident.
You reach down expecting to feel a little dick and...
Yeah.
It's an accident and you feel bad. You're embarrassed. You go, oh, I'm so sorry. Like,
Yeah.
That's the extent
of it.
It's
a social faux pas.
That is the extent of it. And I understand that, like, look, she has a different fucking experience, right? But at the same time, you can't be fucking violent.
No.
Scream and kick things because... or get a better fucking surgeon. What do you want me to say? You look like a fucking
it's
dude.
Confirming that they're all, or
why
not all, but a lot of them are mental patients.
Well, just put a goddamn bow in your hair then. Just make it,
make it easy. I do it with my dog.
Yeah.
Right. Put a bow in your hair.
What do you want me to say
my
here?
My girl dog has a pink collar for that reason.
What were we supposed to think? Because
sorry.
First of all, the clothes.
Whoa, it's a girl. It's a girl.
Ever get mad?
The clothes were very, pop that asshole
that
up again.
A bitch.
Those were dude clothes.
Yeah.
Hair could have been just dude hair.
You can't see the fact that he's wearing skanky girl jeans underneath his fucking sweater.
He's got like fucking OPA cups.
He's on the other side of the... Yeah, you don't have tits.
So it's not even like...
Clearly you're new to the drugs they give you.
Earrings maybe or something. I thought you were...
Guys have earrings.
Pledging for a fraternity.
But it's also like she's like in between. So there's also this other sort of sect of genders where they're not a guy or a girl and they're non... What do you call it? Non-binary or whatever the fuck it is, right?
Yeah.
So I would assume that that's what she is. I would assume that it's not a woman, it's not a man, that she doesn't identify as anything, and she's picking different parts of fucking wardrobes to... Because she literally looks like she went to some sort of machine and mixed in a man and a woman together.
Yeah.
So how are you...
Fly?
Yeah.
Except Hulk Hogan?
Except less hot, somehow.
I'm Brundle, bitch. Motherfucker. There's a hard dick growing out of your back.
Just takes her axe and log with her.
I mean, obviously, that is not a passable tranny type person. That if you said sir, the person would be like, what?
Nobody behind you would be like, it's clearly a girl.
I got to tell you, I loved him in World According to Garp.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
I got to be
Garp, more feminine.
I would rather fuck Lithgow.
Lithgow as this character. More feminine.
I'd rather Robin as that character is more feminine.
Looks like Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Hang myself for
us. He looks like Roddy Piper in fucking They Live.
When they said parts unknown, I thought they were talking about her being a pro wrestler.
I came here to do two things, get a video game and chew bubble gum.
That's fucking, that's a dude. Sorry. You can't just call people. You can't get mad at people for calling you a guy.
You can say, call me. I'm of this, right?
Wrecked somebody if you want.
If you want somebody to call you a fucking woman, that's fine. That's fine. I don't have to be friends with you. I can say, hey, I don't want to do that, and we don't have to be friends anymore. I wouldn't do that. Who gives a fuck? When you look like that, expect people to make mistakes. And also, I mean, how often do you think she's freaking out like this? This has to be a daily occurrence that somebody's like, excuse me, sir,
right, that's a meditation.
Your balls are hanging out.
Yeah.
It just happened for her at Arby's where she got the biggest
sandwich. My balls are hanging out. Ma'am!
I want a big Montana. That's what my pussy's going to look like.
Yeah.
Once I have it done.
Yeah, if you don't think, like, you can't expect people to just go, oh, hi, ma'am, or hi, miss. Like, they're going to... People are going to fuck
we're
up.
We're not allowing anybody to make a mistake. Look, it's a kid working at a GameStop who makes $9 an hour. He's staring at a fucking clock.
Yeah.
All he said was, oh, sorry, excuse me, sir, without even thinking about it.
Damn, I thought that was the big hand.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I apologize.
Yeah. All those big mitts.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Jesus Christ.
I apologize.
Well, that one was...
I thought you were Paul Bunyan.
I liked that story. That was a fun one.
What was the end result in that, though? Like, did this woman get, like, media attention?
No, I don't think... That didn't get the media attention like the crazy liberal guy at the vape store when the guy with the MAGA hat came in.
Well, he was also kind of a douche, but the guy behind the counter was 1,000 times worse.
No, the guy was kind of a douche, but at that point, you gotta be kind of a douche. Yeah.
But he's looking at the...
I thought he handled it pretty
well. I love
you,
brother.
First of all, you're in a vape store, so you're kind of a douche.
Well, you understand. You're being called a racist. He's like, you're fucking racist.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a black guy. You pan the camera standing right next to you. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Well, I love when the guy goes,
you know?
No, bro, I'm fine.
I love what he's talking about that. He's like, you know, that guy was actually ahead of me. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You should have helped
you're not
first.
Even taking care of this guy. Where is do you got that one?
You care so much about race relations, you went right to the white guy.
Let's watch the guy lose. And this is just the mindset of these hardcore
dopes.
Please
do call your boss because I will be calling corporate.
Go for it.
I am looking forward to releasing this video because I just want to purchase something.
Fuck off, dude. Fuck off. Get the fuck off in here, man. Fuck, man. Fucking say it. Fucking say it, racist motherfuckers.
Racist?
Yeah.
Mr. Right? I'm not a racist.
If you wear a hat and an American flag on your shirt and stuff, you're a racist. They really think this. That guy's a mental patient, too. That's the longest vape store I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, he really over
hold down that fucking thing.
I don't have a problem with you, sir. Whatsoever.
Next year, sir. Next year it's going to be a foot long.
As long as you don't marry my sister, I got no problem with you.
I got no problem with you, sir.
Sir?
You look like you got some cream in your cocoa. We cool, baby.
Stay on that side of the line.
I didn't know you people vaped.
I thought you...
Oh, Steph, you can vape crack? All right. I got no problem with you, sir. I got no problem with you.
I thought you people stopped wearing Cosby sweaters. Good for you, man. Keep it alive.
Look how emotional.
It is crazy that somebody would get that emotional.
Well, you see this on all the college
tantrums. It's a tantrum,
and everything. They're having these tantrums.
You have a young kid, right?
Yeah,
I have a 3-year-old.
With life. They don't know how to deal with a guy that they vehemently disagree with.
Well, I was saying this earlier about Pete sort of living your life in a social media world. These kids, this is probably a 23-year-old kid who works at this game store. He lives in a world where they're so impassioned, and you're rewarded for being this person and being a troll, and, you know, fuck you, make America great, suck my dick, you're racist, you know, that.
Well,
and it bled over into the real world where it's like, no, dude, you can't actually do that.
Yeah.
You can't work somewhere and not serve somebody because you don't like the fucking hat they're wearing.
He really thinks he's doing the right thing
here. Of course.
Like, and he thinks it's cool, and he tell his friends, I wouldn't serve that. Well, good for you. I wouldn't either. And
if I was that black guy, I would be more offended by this guy. I'm like, dude, I don't need you.
Right, I don't need your dumb
chin-beard
ass to fucking help me.
Being quiet because it's so uncomfortable. That is what it is, because the black guy's just standing there like...
thanks, I don't need your fucking
help. He's got a...
No, he's looking for an opportunity to steal some shit. We know what's going on.
Well, you look over, he's
regardless of why he was in there. The fact is, he was in there.
You just see him in the background.
As he's leaving, you just see him pull out a gun.
Shoot
you know what?
Dummy.
He should have been racist.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I thought that was hilarious, too. A few pretty good
You're right, though. They are living in a time where all of their opinions are padded or already handed to them. So.
Yeah, yeah.
They live in an echo chamber on Facebook.
And if anyone else comes in front of them with a different opinion, that's what they do. Like, they lose their minds. They don't understand that people will have different ideas.
I enjoy other people's opinions and hearing what their opinions are, because you learn more about people and how, like, I don't understand why people have this inability to, like, want to learn about other people.
Yeah.
And they just throw a tantrum instead of, did you hear the guy out?
They lose their minds. You see this on college campuses where somebody will have a sign that says, you know, build a wall or whatever the fuck it is. And they scream. They turn red in the face and they try to rip it. And they don't know how to deal. They have a temper tantrum.
Well, it's why I...
Well, they do this. That, like, when you'll see them protesting at rallies, this is something that it's just, I look at them like, how are you this person? But there'll be a person trying to have a conversation back, and they'll all start just loudly speaking in the
mouth. Uh-huh, yep. Them.
The same way my son would go, la, 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 la,
la. La, I will not listen to you.
It's
they're like, fuck you. We don't want to hear you. We don't want you here.
You're like, well, you know.
Fuck you. What are you going to do?
The truth lies somewhere in the middle on every issue. I promise you, right? You know, it's like everyone has different perspectives, so you have to respect that fact. But if you're not even willing to have a conversation, it's a very – that's the dangerous thing where you go. It's like, you know, colleges and places where people are supposed to learn. You're supposed to have people that come from different parts of the world. They share ideas. They learn from each other, and they come out of it stronger people. And now it's like –
everyone has their own set of value systems, their own set of values. It's not right or wrong. I mean, really, in the grand scheme of humanity, there is no right and wrong. It's just what we have decided as a society is. So people come from all these different value systems.
Yeah, yeah.
And now everybody's defending these things without hearing anybody else out, taking their side. Like, I don't understand why anybody would follow a system just – A, B, C, D, just follow it.
Oh, yeah,
the line
yeah. Across the party line or whatever. Yeah.
It makes no sense.
It really doesn't. There's no.
Anthony, this is an intervention for you.
Oh, really?
No, and
I'm pretty open to everything. I just don't like stupidity. I hate stupidity. I hate hypocrisy for the most part, even though I know I could be hypocritical and stuff. And I hate people, human beings.
Yeah,
just in general, people.
I just hate.
Well, we are a virus. There's no doubt.
I did. There have been a few moments in my life where I'm just mumbling to myself, and I'm just like, "Oh God, I fucking hate." And then there's nothing after it. I just realize, oh, I just hate. I just hate.
Anybody who gets up and protests. There's something about it. I do. I just even if their cause is noble and they're fucking marching on a line for no matter what side they're on, I'm like, you stink.
But it's always a white trust fund kid. Like, whose side?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Even this kid. What do you think? His parents didn't buy him that stupid store,
dude.
Why do you think he's acting like that?
The whole thing with the there was a great point with the black guy there. Like, the black guy's standing there, the guy behind the counter is yelling at the other guy, calling him a racist. That is insulting to the black guy.
Yeah.
He should turn to that idiot and just go, you think I need your fucking help?
Yeah. If I wanted to handle this
fuck
guy.
Are you?
You nerdy little.
Sit down, Abe Lincoln. I don't fucking need your help.
And we all know you
don't, Abe Lincoln.
Yeah.
We all know you're doubling down because I'm in the store, by the way.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's another thing. Show. He's got to show off to the black guy. It's some of the most racist behavior you'll ever see.
Well, and the expectation is the black guy is going to be like, I just want you to know, I really appreciate
it. Hey, thanks so much for getting him out of the store. Yeah. I was feeling uncomfortable. That's his fantasy, that guy behind the counter. No, my brother, my friend, we're all the same. I didn't even realize you were black until now. I don't see color.
You know what? I'm going to buy
pussy. I'm a faggot.
I'm going to buy double grape vape.
Yeah. I'm going to.
You know what, sir?
I don't have any orange soda vape.
You know what, sir? I'm going to buy some double grape vape. I appreciate your effort.
Double grape vape.
Thank you so much, sir.
Yeah. It's people. We need more people like
so
you.
So Jesse Jackson's going to show up as the mayor of black people and hand you a ribbon?
Yeah.
You're going to be a three-ribbon store.
Yeah, he has this fantasy that he's saving people that need him to save them. It's fucking unbelievably racist.
So stupid.
Fuck that guy in his fucking fucker. Speaking of fucking, of course, the various programming for New Year's Eve was terrible. They had New Year's Rockin' Eve. They're still calling it Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve.
Is he dead or is he still just
dead
moaning?
For, has to be, I'd say, a dozen years now, something like that. He had a stroke, and then he was still doing it.
For like 8 years.
It was like a while. He's going, Dappy Doody. And it was like, he would do the count out and count 10.
In fairness.
8, 5.
He was reading Scooby Doo lines.
Yeah. Dappy Doo year. A Ruby Dooby.
It's like when Jerry Lewis would do the telethons.
And then
lose his mind. Say faggot and stuff. Best.
Then he died mercifully. And who took it over?
Seacrest.
Ryan Seacrest took it over. And he's been doing a bang-up job. Everyone loves Seacrest. So I guess NBC, because that's ABC, NBC and CBS and CNN, they try to get their shit in. But I think on New Year's Rockin' Eve, we had people actually having sex behind the person doing the commentary.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Go. Look at this. Oh, yeah. Look at this. These two right here. This is great.
Oh.
There's no sound to this, by the way.
Are they fucking?
Yeah. You could tell. Look.
Who's that chick?
Look. Yeah.
Oh, they're fucking.
Look at her. Look at her. Oh, she just made that face. Yeah. She's grabbing the rail. He's got. Look. He's fucking her.
Yeah, they're fucking.
They're fucking on New Year's Eve.
And she said hi
right
to the camera.
There on fucking national,
she's saying hi
international television.
Hi, Dad. This is your fault.
Dude, that's awesome.
What an awesome whore.
Yeah, look. Yeah. Look, she's like, you could tell at one point he drives it a little deep.
Yeah.
And she goes like, watch her face.
Well, there's other people on the left like, looking over.
Right here.
Right there, yeah. Like,
see the girl on the left with the
glasses?
Gotta
grab the rail. Yeah.
Whoa. Right there. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're 100% right.
Just came in her.
He's fucking her right there. That's a dappy dude here. Right there, motherfucker.
You were conceived. On
yeah. Now, let's show where you were. Yeah, conceived. Oh, boy.
Here it is.
Your mother was a little hose bag. Then there was Anderson Cooper out there for CNN.
Just him fucking a dude.
Yeah, just dudes.
Yeah.
Their
the guy's
biggest
just
problem.
Unzipping to the countdown.
Yeah. Who did he have with him? Cohen. Andy Cohen was with him.
Yeah. Andy Cohen teabags him right as the ball.
Yeah. They were afraid. They were upset that no umbrellas were allowed. The NYPD does not allow umbrellas in Times Square, and it was raining.
Why?
Quite a
bit. Because
the terrorism.
Gun easy.
You could. Yeah. You could, I don't know.
If you're the penguin, you could
act by the penguin.
Right? You have a gun in your umbrella, I guess.
In case Putin, was there and wanted
America.
yeah. So, yeah. So no umbrellas allowed. So they were
poisoning
kind of,
people.
Yeah, he spins it and poison comes out.
Yeah. Anderson was just mad because he usually
the giant
does his yearly
the Joker can come
tradition out of doing a headstand and having people use him as an umbrella holder.
I'm surprised he didn't just hide one in there.
Yeah.
I've got an umbrella.
Do that, stash it, break it out. So they were out there doing shots. And Anderson really, I guess, you know, when a gay guy gets drunk, they really, it's hard for them to kind of hide
we
their gayness.
Anderson and hundreds of thousands of people in the rain.
Yes, yes. It's our hourly toast.
Not making it any less
another
fun.
Toast.
I wish this was cut.
If you have at home, not if you're driving, but feel free to toast along with us.
Absolutely.
Why has Anderson Cooper gotten gayer?
He's having a great time. He's not a big drinker.
It's like burning your lungs.
Really, dude? Yes, swallow cum.
That's what he does when he sees a pussy.
I know.
Here we are, me and Anderson.
Too much.
That thing wasn't the grossest thing in his mouth that hour.
Yeah.
You're going to react like that?
Yeah, for Anderson to go, ew, that tastes awful. He's licked men's assholes.
Yeah.
Really? Really? A shot of tequila is a little rough for you?
Oh.
Oh, please.
It was very hard for you to put that down. Meanwhile, you don't have a gag reflex anymore.
Yeah, no shit.
He only agreed to do it because he thought he could swallow the worm.
Yeah, what? Where's the worm?
Wait, it's not in here?
How? Yeah, so they were having a gay old time out there in Times Square. And then Anderson started getting drunk and talking about his mom's sex life. Now, his mom was a Vanderbilt, right? Which one? Gloria?
Gloria, yeah.
Gloria Vanderbilt. Very wealthy, very wealthy socialites.
Blue blood.
And he started talking about his mom's sex life. Only a gay dude talks about their mom like that.
Yeah.
Like, it's that whole gay thing, I guess.
I don't know. It's creepy. Even
it would never.
Gay,
yeah, what are you doing?
I've never had any of my gay friends that. Do that.
Gloria Vanderbilt. You got that? There it is.
With baby?
Oh, God.
No, not really.
No? What about Steve McQueen?
You don't have to answer any of his questions. Just ignore
we're here. The questions. Steve McQueen.
Unfortunately, not with Steve McQueen.
He oh, my God. Steve McQueen. Wow.
The way he tugged his vest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was, so was cool. He as cool as we all yeah. thought that he
was? Yes.
He was.
I was butt-fucked by Steve McQueen.
Allie, he felt, should have children all the time and do nothing else. But that's okay.
The other guy's gay, too, right?
I think so.
He's
I'm guessing
one of the
by
great
the
artists
hold.
Of all time.
Yeah.
And he's so, working with him, he's just so inventive.
My mom hooked up with him.
She did?
With hot Marlon Brando, not like Apocalypse Now Marlon Brando.
Not
she,
Richard Pryor
she hooked
Marlon
up with
Brando?
Like, I think it was on the waterfront Marlon Brando.
Wow.
She and Carol Matthau both watched the movie
Lucky
and
lady.
Both made a deal yeah. that they were going to meet up.
Did they really?
Yeah, Carol
You're
did
not
it.
Kidding.
Carol got it first and then set it up for my mom.
You.
It was a one-night date.
Oh, come on.
What?
No, and apparently,
they ran a train on Marlon Brando?
In the car, he put his hand on the car and pressed his face against the door and said, "You have Japanese skin." I don't know what that means.
Wow.
But that's
well, yeah.
so racist.
I meant
Japanese skin. Why? Is it irradiated and falling off of you? Depends on what year you have that Japanese skin.
Oh, I thought you were jaundice.
August of 45 wasn't a good year to have Japanese yeah. skin.
That's probably a code word for I'm going to go blow Rock Hudson while you keep the car running.
So that was Gloria Vanderbilt back in the day.
All right.
On some Long Island estate, I'm sure.
She does look a little Asian.
Yeah.
You have Asian skin.
It's very funny, like, they would hire two gay guys to, like, host that show.
Yeah.
They really think that, like, everybody just fucking wants to just hang out with two gay guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's not going to get fucking annoying for dudes at all.
Right? You're absolutely right.
I'm not hating. Like, I have no problem. Like, I'm very good friends with a lot of gay dudes. Tim Dillon's a really good friend of mine.
You're not hanging out, fucking.
Just, like, they're going to host. If two gay guys are like, dude, come to my party tonight, it's going to be I'd be like, I don't.
You imagine?
I'm not going to that party.
Like, I got no problem with gay dudes or anything, but imagine having to spend the whole fucking night and a
with them
party.
Hosting it and their ideas and their fucking...
I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we went to...
But I will say women do love gay guys. I remember we had a gay waiter recently, and my girlfriend just was like, I just like him. I was like, just shut up, you fucking idiot. You just like him.
Oh, God.
He's gay.
It can be peppy. Gay dudes.
Yeah.
You just love it. Every chick is a fag hag down yeah. inside. They love hanging out with them and... Because they're fashionable and they could talk that chick lingo thing, yeah, you know.
They don't hit you.
Yeah, they fucking bathe.
They don't
ask to have their dick sucked by you.
It's true. They're not always trying to fuck you.
Always trying to fuck you. Maybe they got a point.
They typically don't go to GameStop. You ask to be called a woman. And
yeah, yeah. Hey, what the fuck? I was looking for Red Dead Redemption.
I want to be a cowboy, too.
See how big the horse's cocks are.
I want to be a lady cowboy.
Yeah, yeah. I want to be a frilly...
Cowgirl!
Cowgirl, fucker! Right, we get it. I was,
Put your dukes up!
I like to go cowgirl. Just sit right on your cock backwards.
I was watching you and your chick twitching some Fortnite. That was pretty funny.
So bad.
You guys are you're just yelling at each other.
We don't even like each other.
It's hilarious.
Once you move in, just it all goes down from there. Every relationship, it's you meet each other, there's a honeymoon phase, and then, you know, 6 months in, you get into your first big fight, and then you move in eventually, and then there's one fight a month, then one fight every 2 weeks, then one a week, then every other day, then every day, and then she sneezes too many times in a row, and you want to cave her cheek in.
Oh, that's God.
It. Remember that, where he's like, she like sneezes 6 times in a row. You're like, bitch, stop sneezing. Just stop. You're making me furious.
Isn't it, you talk about the first big fight, isn't it amazing, like, when you first hook up, you just think, like, wow, we will never fight.
Yeah.
There's nothing we even have to fight about.
Smash cut a year later. Where's my fucking gun?
And then it's
where is it?
I couldn't find it. Fell out of my holster. Fucking cunt.
We will never fight. This will never go downhill.
Never fight. Never. Yeah, isn't it fucking up? Like, you're just like, oh, I can't imagine. How does it happen?
Where, like, one person's just silent and the other one's just like, what?
Oh, God.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's wrong? Nothing. Oh, Christ. Well, I guess nothing's wrong.
I'm just reading the tension coming off of you. So if you could just tell me what's wrong and communicate like an adult.
No, there's none of that.
No.
You can't have any of that.
No, you don't want to talk like people.
No,
you
stop. Want to
make it a goddamn puzzle. I'm sorry.
Communicate.
Once you make the decision.
Puzzle. I want beep, 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 beep.
I'm sure it's the same thing with like getting married, but it's like you make the decision to move in. You're just expediting the process of hating each other.
Yes.
Like there's a cycle of that's you're going to go through where eventually you're going to start hating each other. And I think it's about making a decision whether or not you're going to just deal with that hate. I think people that stay married forever or stay with the same person forever, they make a decision. They go, okay, well, my hatred for them is not as bad as loneliness.
Oh.
I go, fuck it. I'll just deal with this and that's that. But I have confidence. I know I'll find another woman.
It's also financial and moving.
Well, that's a
big
thing.
There's a lot of reasons to stay married.
You're right about that. When you live with somebody and own a home, and that's a whole other...
You've now invested into basically a business that you share with that person because the sex isn't there. So it's pretty much you have to, like, you maybe like to have the same dogs or you're sharing the kid, you know. Not that
agree
I know
on
about
same.
Any of this.
I didn't get divorced until I really, like, fell for a girl that I really felt
it was another woman
for.
And then you were like...
Yeah, I stayed in my marriage for 9 fucking years.
But the other one ended up being crazy after 9 years as well, right?
Yeah, after 9 years, she got a little loony too. But she was great for 9 years.
Yeah,
we had a really good relationship. But the marriage itself, I stayed married for those first like 5 years before I got into radio just because there was nothing else better. I was working for a living. She worked at a bar. I had a lot of friends at the bar. And it was just one of those things.
Your lifestyle was set up.
Yeah, you just kept it going. She
was
a cunt on wheels. She was constantly drunk and shit. So it just was like, I don't care. I had my brother and the bands and everything. And we'd go out and
do
gigs. No, I
wouldn't cheat either.
Dude, I never cheated on my wife until we had a threesome. That was the only, the first time I had another woman with
that had to be fucking just incredible. First time it was
well, in my
awesome.
Book, permanently suspended. That's right. It was the first one was this girl, Cindy in New York. It was before I was even in radio.
Yeah,
it was a friend of ours, and she was hanging out at one of the gigs I was doing with my brother and the band and everything. And my wife came over to me and she goes, "Cindy wants to watch us have sex at home," and I'm like. Pack it up!
Yep.
Pack it up!
You were in the middle of a fucking motorist.
I didn't give a fuck. You guys, finish this up. I'm out of here. And I had my work van, my Apollo air conditioning work van, and I was drunk, and I'm driving my van home. There, the two girls are sitting in the passenger seat, kind of on each other's...
Ah, yes, that's
shit.
Great.
And I'm just like...
Get home.
Please, God, if there's any night to not get me pulled over, like, just don't. I would have to have killed the cop.
Yeah.
I would have to have killed the cop and then just, you know.
Figured it out
later.
Yeah.
You just
like, I think I might get off, too. I might be like, Your Honor, mercy of the court, but he was going to arrest me. I had two girls.
Can I approach the bench, Your Honor?
Yeah. I would have, all right.
You went home and that was that.
I went home and they were like, you know, start to make out a little bit. I pulled the old, you know, oh, I'm gonna go take a shower.
Yeah, you did.
And you're all
naked.
Ready to go.
You're naked.
Yeah. Come out with the towel on and now you're fucking, you know, they're already kind of going at it
nice.
On the couch. You just jump right in.
Nice.
And that was, you know, the beginning of it. And then my wife said something like, she goes, there are some days where I absolutely feel like 85% lesbian.
Wow.
I'm like, all right, well, we'll get some more girls. And we did that with that girl. And then we went up to Massachusetts to do the radio gig. I got the radio gig with Opie. And she the whole time we were up there, we didn't do it, but we were kind of looking. Yeah. We would come back down in New York and hook up with that Cindy girl again. And then when we got the gig in New York, then she was like, we should do this again. And I'm like, at that point, all kinds of girls would come into the studio and get naked.
Great.
So I'm like, all right, I'll find someone.
It's great.
All right.
My hands are tied.
I'll find someone. So I found Melinda, and then the three of us hooked up for an entire summer. We just, all three of us were together the whole time. Yeah. And then the wife started making rules.
Oh, no.
Well, no fucking unless no I'm fuck. There, too.
Okay. Well, that's a fair rule, Anthony. Jesus.
Fuck that rule.
It does seem... I could...
Fuck that.
I would love that rule.
That rule blows.
I get don't fuck anybody else.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if she's out on Long Island, and I'm here in the city, and she was here in the city... What am I supposed to?
Now, was Melinda and her friends?
They didn't like each other.
Okay, so Melinda didn't give a shit.
No, she didn't give a shit.
Good, all right, good for that.
She just wanted to fuck me.
Melinda was the original three-way girl?
But no. After Cindy.
After Cindy, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then we went, you know, we would go upstate and like rent a hotel by Melinda's house or her family's house up there and fuck there. And it was just a lot of fucking going on. And then I'd be at my house in Huntington with the wife and her, and we'd wake up in the morning, and my wife would go in to take a shower, and while she was showering, we would just be fucking.
Ah, and your wife wouldn't know. It was kind of hot. You're like, it's great, because she's right there.
She'd hear the water turn off and be like, all right.
What were some of the other rules? Were there any other rules?
That was the only one I remember.
I talked to my chick about fucking threesomes, and it's the same thing. I can't fuck her. It's like, she's, you know, she doesn't know how far she wants to go. It's like, no, you want...
threesome, you gotta fucking...
I want her to lick this woman's shit off my dick.
Yeah, yeah.
This is what I'm looking for. This is, the experience needs to be no rules, no boundaries. Yeah.
You know. I've talked about it before also. It definitely goes... Like I talk about how me and Melinda, it was like from here to eternity... Like, you know, just the utter and complete romance and eye contact and love, just fucking crazy. And then my right hand would be over here. Just
trying to finger this.
Diddling the wife. Like, over here is just this unbelievable passion and contact. And then I'm like, fiddle-dee-dee-dee-dee. Like, yeah, you're in it. It's a threesome.
Kind of slapping the fucking swat. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Just hitting the bean like a launch button, not even caring. Just
my wife tried to shave her pussy once to like be more sexy. Like this was during that time in the 90s where some girls did and some girls didn't. So she shaved it, but then she didn't keep it shaved. So she let it grow in a little.
5 o'clock shadow.
I went to go at her from behind.
Like George Clooney.
And I gave her a good thrusting, and my bag kind of hit. It felt like pins.
Yeah, like a cactus.
Like fucking like Pluto's whiskers from Popeye.
Your wife's pussy looked like Hellraiser.
Yeah,
like as a.
I felt it sent a shock on me. I thought something was wrong with my balls.
A little pussy pine.
Yeah, it was a pussy pine. Oh, it was terrible. And then I knew, like, all right, this
was the last time.
And then the wife gave me an ultimatum.
What was the ultimatum?
Like me or her. And I was like, arrivederci. You gave me the reason. I'm out.
Yeah.
And then me and Melinda were together for 9 years. Another 9 years.
It is. But you were fairly successful at that point. You were
at that point. Yeah.
So it's easier because you were saying it before, like, you know, just staying together sometimes easier. I made this point about Ariana Grande and Pete Davidson, and that's a much higher cent because they're, you know, Ariana's one of the richest fucking chicks in the world.
You're getting idiots.
But it's like
about getting
married or
cats.
Divorced for them isn't the same thing. Like, they don't have to deal with any of the bullshit. Like, they're not moving their shit. Like, they pay somebody. He's going to go to fucking... He's going to rent an island for a day. And like, yeah, they're going to move my shit out while I'm on this island fucking this other hot chick smoking a blunt. There's no...
Not a problem.
There's nothing...
Not really invested.
Yes, exactly.
And yeah, your wife's not going to take half of your SNL money when she's like the biggest pop star on the planet.
That's true.
You know, you don't have to worry about anything.
But they weren't getting married anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were supposedly engaged.
What a kid, like, goofy junior high school thing that was made public. Like, you just laugh at it. I laugh at both of them as the emotional fucking disasters they both are.
Of course, but we all were.
He's also at that age, though, where he doesn't know how young he is. He's as old as he's ever been, and he thinks he knows.
Yeah, probably.
He's also, you understand, like, they don't... in the entertainment industry in general, you grow up very slow. So I act like most 26-year-olds. I don't act like I'm 26 years old. I act like I'm a fucking child, you know?
In the same way.
And it's just sort of the nature of the game. And I think just in general, even if you're not in the entertainment industry, we act a lot younger. People used to get married at 18, 19, 20 years old. They used to start families at 21, buy their first house at 22. That shit doesn't exist. People are
fucking decades younger than me, and they talk about their kids and
this crazy.
And that. And I'm like, hey, you hear fucking new games coming out in 2019? I'm pretty psyched about
it. It's a different time where people are growing up a lot slower. Now, Ariana Grande, she's 22 years old, but she literally has the mindset of like a 13-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Nobody tells her no. I mean, you hear the way she talks. She's got like bows in her hair, and she's got a pet pig and fucking...
Yeah, she's a toddler.
Yeah, she's a fucking child. Yeah.
They're all retarded.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, but you do make a point. I mean, if you look back to the 70s, you'll see like a 25-year-old in a suit and tie going to work, you know, carrying a briefcase.
He's got a fucking mustache. You see
that?
25-year-olds in the 70s.
That's hilarious.
Like, it's an old man right there.
Like, once you were,
pork chop sideburns.
Yeah, dude.
Mustache, he's going to the office.
A briefcase.
He's 25.
You went to college, you either got a job at the fucking, like, appliance sales store and you stayed there for
Right.
It's just a different fucking thing.
Oh, my God, the dry look from Gillette.
Yeah. And it's like,
he's a man.
Like, what is he, 52? You're like, 17 years old.
Now it's like 25. That guy at the vape counter.
I remember when I was a kid, I would visit my high school. The high school that I went to had a planetarium in the high school. So it was like.
Awesome.
It was really cool.
How'd they steal that?
Yeah. You take a couple, you know, a couple of science classes. We're in this planetarium, but
a lot of jizz.
They would bring the elementary school kids from all the elementary schools, you know, for a day at the planetarium to learn about stars. And I just remember when I was like in first grade, six, seven years old, my kid's age basically, and looking at these 17, 16 year old kids, and they were fucking adults.
Yep. Yeah,
they were grown ups. Clear as day. I was like, wow, these are grown ups.
Something.
It's such a weird thing. Even I visited my high school a few years ago, and like. The hallways are tiny, and I'm the same size I was in high school.
Yeah, it's just everything looks smaller. It's the perception of it. Like, that place was more important. So
you got there,
bigger.
It was so big when you first got there. Like, you're in it, so you're growing with it. You don't realize that, like, outgrowing it, and, like, it seems like it's so juvenile, this little locker that's on top of another locker.
But when you're young, everything is a small town mentality, regardless of where you're from. Yeah. Everything is your own little bubble, and that eventually bursts, you know, or you stay in it for fucking ever.
Oh, forever, and you go to the local bar and talk about past glories.
Yeah, it's why you see the guy in a varsity jacket sitting there, and he's 40 years old.
I was watching some of the Twilight Zone marathon, of course, over the holiday, and some of that shit is hilarious, too, because you get a guy, and he's driving his car, and the Serling dialogue comes over, and it's like, Mr. Macy, 30 years old, and he's and the guy's like 60.
Yeah.
He's driving. He's a business guy driving back to his hometown. It's like 30. Fucking gray hair. And
eating a cigarette hamburger.
Yeah. He's smoking butts. He's got an Oldsmobile. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Larry, all the women looked old. All that, like, people just looked. And acted older back then.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
There's this.
How did you even film with all that smoke?
I don't know. One of my favorite things ever is the David Susskind Rod Serling interview. And they're sitting, and they both were just notorious smokers. And you just see as they're going back, it looks like the place is on fire.
Yeah.
It looks like they're doing an interview during a fucking five alarm fire.
I used to smoke cigarettes. It's very strange. Did you smoke cigarettes?
Oh, yeah. 15.
I mean, I remember when they, in New York City, it went into effect, the smoking ban.
Yep.
Clear as day, because I used to smoke cigarettes at bars all the time.
Awesome.
This was probably 2003, maybe, if I had to guess.
Something around there.
And the Village Idiot was the bar that I used to go to on 14th and 9th, which was a fucking trash shithole, $5 a pitcher, $5 pitchers of beer, $1 shots, fucking garbage. It was awesome. They would let us smoke cigarettes probably a year after the ban. We would just sit in the back. And I don't know how I if I'm a person smoking cigarettes now, I'm like, you're a fucking ass.
Isn't it weird to see someone smoke a cigarette?
But back then, we would just sit in the bar. Like, it was nothing. In a car, we'd all be smoking cigarettes in a car.
Oh, in the car. When I was a kid, that was the... That's child abuse. I'd be in the fucking back or the front seat even of the Rambler. We had a Rambler. That was our car. And dad and mom smoking away, but they'd open those little fly windows, so the air would get sucked out. It's like, yeah, either
all it did was would blow would the air back, fucking in
and around, and you'd be in there just
create a vortex of fucking cigarette smoke.
I remember saying like, the smoke, dad, I knock it off, shut up, I'll roll the window down.
Yeah,
it's fine. But that was like a thing. Mm-hmm. Everything reeked of smoke back in the '70s.
Even in the '80s, like you would put out the. I remember, like you would put out a fucking ashtray, even if you didn't smoke.
Ashtray was furniture
to your house. Yeah, they were huge.
You had big decorative ashtrays and cigarette lighters.
It'd be like a
giant Indiana Jones fucking old head cigarette.
It'd be a
lighter.
Fucking globe in the middle of it. Surrounded like
they bought a new lighter, $200.
Yeah. Merry Christmas! Oh, a lighter.
A Zippo with an eagle on. Remember those?
Oh, George, how did you afford it?
It's a lighter shaped like Buddha or Robert Kelly.
It's a UKWD lighter.
Those were like gifts. Like that was people got you ashtrays, cigarette lighters.
Yeah, it was all that stuff.
And they were all around the house. Everywhere was like ashtrays.
Yeah.
You put ashtrays in the dishwasher with your dishes. You
I remember
made it.
Yeah. My mom had two white like very expensive ashtrays on each side of a giant Bible.
There you go.
Yeah, right there. Bible ashtrays, decorative ashtrays.
My nana's very house Italian had woman. The old like these like that with the little
oh yeah,
heavy
Pelicans and yeah, heavy. There were ashtrays that were murder weapons. Like
for sure.
I remember the one we had was a crystal ashtray, and all around the edges were like. Scalloped, I guess. Swastikas, that's what it said.
Wasn't the original Clue have one of those things?
Yeah. He was killed by the ashtray in the library.
Like, that was a Columbo weapon.
Yes. Yeah.
Bam! You fucking. That's how they one did. Of those oldie weapons that they don't really use anymore.
Every one of those old shows were like, well, you see, the cigarette has lipstick on it, so it couldn't have been a man.
Yes! Well, I am a woman! Sorry, ma'am. Professor. I thought you were. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me,
so
sir.
So for sure it had to be a woman.
I'm a... You called me sir!
Yeah, it's
perfect. Well, you look like a dude.
Sorry, yeah. You know what? I got two mysteries on my hands.
Yeah. All right, excuse me, ma'am. Your penis is hanging.
I gotta solve a murder, but first I gotta figure out how you think you're a woman.
Yeah! That's the biggest mystery. Were you putting up a read?
I think we just lost the signal.
Yeah, wrong button was hit. That was
it. Boy. It's a good thing you don't work for SpaceX. All right, other things happening. Did you see Elizabeth Warren trying to be relatable? This is hilarious. Elizabeth Warren, you know, the Indian woman in Congress? Yeah.
Blood test proven.
Yes, blood test proved it. Trump trolled her into taking a DNA test because he is a fucking Jedi. He trolled her into taking a DNA test, which proved she has no Indian in her whatsoever. She had one billionth of some South American Aztec blood or maybe. So
Anthony's got more Aztec blood in his basement.
I do, yes. All over the walls, mm-hmm. Severed heads. She may be running for president in 2020, so she's already gearing up. And she's doing that newfangled thing, making videos and putting them online. Ooh, that's crazy. All the kids are doing it. And she's trying to be relatable. I think people have told her, you're just not relatable to the regular everyman like Donald Trump is. So she figured drinking a beer.
I can't wait until she's fucking debating Trump. And in the middle of one of her speeches, he's just like...
Oh, he'll just start doing it. Come on.
You look over, he's sitting in style.
I'm sorry everyone had to wait in the rain out there. Did she do a dance? Did she do one of those dances before? He'll say something like that, too. He would absolutely say something.
Hilarious.
What is it? Oh, yeah. You know, she's guilty of misappropriation of wampum. Thank you, folks.
Where's your battle makeup?
Yeah,
where's your war paint?
You need a medicine, man? You look a little down in the mouth.
You don't have to worry about health care when you got that. You just take peyote in a desert.
Look out, she'll sue you with an X.
You really scalped me on that one.
When we heard Elizabeth Warren was going to be here, we all had the same question. How?
Look at those fake smoke signals. All the fake smoke signals.
Fake smoke signals.
Fake smoke, ladies and gentlemen. Fake smoke. Love it. So she's trying to be relevant. Here she is, just drinking a beer like an ordinary person.
Like a regular
would.
Person.
A beer.
A beer. And her cuck husband.
Oh, yeah.
Hey! Glover, my husband Bruce is now in here.
He's going to open up with his asshole. Here, Bruce. Yeah, here.
I wish she just sliced her hand open because it wasn't a twist.
So,
off.
This is my sweetie. Hello.
Oh, I like men. She doesn't know that.
Thank you for
being why I'm with her.
I'm glad you're here. Yeah,
enjoy looks your like day. I'm fucking
who we got here so far? Skylar and 14 others.
Skylar.
Hello.
14.
Denise.
No.
Hi.
You're not supposed to say I'm 14 people.
Good to see you. Who else have we got? Kenny? Is that right? Kenny and the boys? Oh, glad to see you. Is that Greeny Goddess? Wow. That's a name I'd like to have.
I thought Tom Petty was dead.
Look at her down in some brews.
So,
by the way, this is Opie's podcast.
By the way, she doesn't.
She's just down in some brews and talking about who's.
See the sip?
Did you see the sip? The way she pursed her lip at the end, she doesn't like it.
Kenny and the boys? I'm glad to see. Is that Greeny Goddess?
I just
wow.
want to say, you know, Joe Rogan, I texted you. You know, why didn't you?
You see Kanye tweeted, just spoke with Joe Rogan. Yeah, yeah. Do his podcast soon. How crazy
Rogan's
is that?
Shit, man.
God damn.
Rogan is the shit. He's the Johnny Carson of.
Yeah, he doesn't fuck around, dude.
That we had to decide was when to do this. I never thought I was going to run for politics, any kind of elected office. So who
too busy running with wolves.
Yeah.
Darth. It's good to see you, Darth. I'm glad you're here.
Have you ever heard the wolf cry through the blue corn moon?
I'm part of the Fakawi tribe.
Cherokee Warren.
Half breed. That's all I ever heard. Half breed.
Fuck. She's in the wigwam. So Aji's on horseback in her kitchen.
That's like how forced. Like Donald Trump fucked these people up.
Hmm?
He was able to embrace social media in his 70s in a way that a lot of fucking younger, way younger people couldn't master.
Hmm.
And now they're like, well, if we're going to do this, we're going to have to like get into this social media thing. No. And they just don't know how to do it. You think with 14 people watching her take a repulsed swig off a beer,
yeah,
that's going to get you votes, you dunce?
What's the idea that some guy like working at a job site's going to be like, well, I didn't know she was one of me.
Yeah.
Look at that. We both like beer.
Look at her drinking fire water.
You like sex?
Yeah, you like that fire water, don't you, Injun?
Yeah. You like Injun. Sex and money? We should hang out.
You like that fire water, don't yeah. you, Injun?
I hear she's having engine trouble.
When yeah. I was a kid, they told me to sit Indian style, so I laid in the gutter with a bottle of whiskey. One of bosses, of course. Love that one. Yeah, she that just shows how out of fucking touch. And then, yeah, Mike from Wisconsin, thanks for calling, but I don't need to take the call for this. But Trump said, ask Warren's psychiatrist. He was talking about, they were giving him questions about her and other things, and he's answering. He goes, I don't know. I hope she's okay. I hope she does well. I'd like to run against her. And they asked him another question. He goes, I don't know. Ask her psychiatrist. Like, he knows how to fucking twist the screws. You see, he's just bad-mouthing Mattis now.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that, yeah.
General Mattis, like, he couldn't say nicer things about Mattis during the campaign and everything. Remember, he loved saying, Mad Dog, bring up Mad Dog Mattis. Love him, love him. And now he's like, oh, yeah, I fired the guy. Fuck him. What did he do for me? It's hilarious.
I think he was touching kids. Who knows?
Yeah, fuck him. I don't know. Fuck him. He likes that.
I mean,
don't ask, don't tell. In the. He's like, what did he do for me in Afghanistan? What? What are you talking about, Trump? I'm a mental patient. I love it.
Great.
I fucking love it. I can't get enough of Donald Trump.
Did you see that first tweet of the year that he put out?
I'm sorry. I'm just like, guys, I can't. There's a kid with no arms kicking around a fucking ball.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
What's happening right now?
His new prosthetic leg.
Yeah, I just saw a child playing a piano with his feet. And
yeah, I mean, what am I supposed to do here?
This kid's getting a little too old now. You see him?
Not since Penn Station has I seen somebody play a piano with their feet.
I thought that was Patton.
They brought a new kid in. To kind of replace the older kid, because he's getting old now. That kid,
you could get this adorable Welp to the Rescue blanket.
And now they got a new little kid with some kind of disorder. Whoa!
Look at him.
He's got shoulders like Joe DeRosa.
Here's what I don't understand. How does he get to the whistle?
Joe DeRosa, who will be on the show.
The whistle's really low down.
Yeah, how does he do? What is a Shriner, is this? By the
what
way?
Is the Shriner?
Wacky hats.
If they help kids, I say God love them.
They help kids.
Yeah, the Shriners Hospital and the St. Jude's, yeah, they're all awesome.
They help kids with hilarious diseases.
Hilarious diseases. Louis C.K. thinks
what
they're
the
funny,
fuck
apparently.
Was that?
I don't know. Hilarious.
That commercial, was that an advertisement for Professor X's school for children? Gifted children.
This joke is he has no arms and a rape whistle, so how does he use it?
The new X-Men.
Who is that, a trailer?
Oh, that's adorable.
Except instead of superpowers, they're just goofy.
they don't have any of the powers. They just have the deformity.
It's really just the X-Men because they can't.
How does that
them?
Still yeah. happen? Like, how does that little, like, this arm happen?
Fetal alcohol syndrome.
It's actually,
right?
Yeah.
And then they're like, I'll cook you eggs. You're like, nah. It's okay. Keep your nubs out
it's
of my breakfast.
Professor Xavier's never men because they're not going to grow up.
Yeah.
I can tie my own shoes. We're going to be here a while.
This is a lot. I just tie them for you?
Little T-Rex arms. Poor
you
little
just
bastard.
Fucking, can you just wear Crocs, please, and stop trying to be a hero?
Glad they helped them, though. They do. And that, they help them out.
You see the Michael J. Fox show where he's just trying to fucking, like, spoon mashed potatoes, and his wife's just like, stop trying to be a goddamn hero, and just takes it and throws it into the
hilarious. Oh, really?
He's really funny.
He's goofed on shit like that for many years. We remember him as Marty McFly from Back to the Future.
You may know him shaking in front of Congress.
The winner of the Miss Africa contest...
Let's say.
Had a little bit of an issue.
Anthony?
A little problem.
Leslie Jones.
What? It wasn't Leslie Jones.
Oh, I thought it was.
Leslie Jones was hosting.
Her talent was picking bugs out of other contestants' hair.
Oh, my God.
What? Grow up. I'm Puerto Rican. Shut up.
Let's see how she
is. People, I'm a totally different race.
Here she is.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my
no. No.
The Michael Jackson Pepsi commercial.
Yeah.
That's Miss Africa?
That's Miss Africa.
Yeah. Her head's on fire?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, dude, they really don't respect women in those
really
countries, do they?
No, they still are using Afro Sheen and Soul Glow.
You should have seen what they did to her clit.
You look down, her fucking pants are on fire.
If she was wearing a hijab, it would not have happened.
It was the fucking, what's the African terrorist group? The fucking...
Oh, yeah.
Procol
Harum. That band, Procol Harum. Yeah, their name is too close to the band Procol Harum, who did the song Whiter Shade of Pale.
Yeah.
It's like Boca
Haram. Yeah.
Boca Haram and Procol Harum. I don't know.
Very ironic.
It's like, what's the terrorist name? Oh, Meds Eplin.
What's your hit?
What?
What's your
it's
hit?
It's like Led Zeppelin. It's a terrorist.
What's your hit? Darker Shade of Black?
Lit her head on fire, so I'm assuming it was like a...
Poor colored girl was on fire.
Some fucking...
And the color girls go burn.
Yeah. She was white before that incident.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't. Maybe that's how. Yeah. I don't know. Felt bad for her, but
that's hilarious.
What are you gonna do?
She already won.
Is there an after photo? There has to be. Just her burnt fucking head.
I guess that's.
Agree with Debbie. If she's all burned up, so they take the trophy away. Like, listen, we're gonna need this back.
That's the Winnie Mandela fucking award. She used to put the. They used to necklace people. Which was taking a tire filled with gasoline.
Yes.
You put it around someone's neck.
And light on fire.
As their hog ties, and then you light them on fire. Winnie Mandela did that.
Yeah.
with her National African Congress or something.
Well, Nelson Mandela, kind of a pretty shitty history for the way that he's held up. It's interesting.
Well, at least South Africa's all better now.
Yeah. Ooh.
Holy shit. Yeah,
didn't he leave his wife right after being in prison?
Yeah. I don't think he got along with Winnie very well.
No.
Especially after she Nelson. Started necklacing people.
Yeah. She probably realized he didn't want to be around her when she would do things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like burn a tire around a man's face.
Like burn people in the opposition party. Unfucking believable. I don't know. I've had enough of that whole continent over there.
Well, apparently God has too.
I've had enough of that continent.
7 out of 10 with AIDS. I don't know if you've seen
the whole fucking continent is just a problem.
When you fuck babies to cure your disease, shit happens.
Yeah, maybe that's.
It's a virgin.
Constant wars and just bullshit and diseases. And then even Northern Africa, the Middle East is all fucked up.
What about
the whole fuck continent can go fuck itself?
What about a safari?
Yeah, those are kind of
fun. It looks like it'd be nice.
Go hunt a lion.
I do like when people get out of their car and lion jumps in and eats them.
Yeah.
That's always fun.
Yeah, if I was an African and got bit by a mosquito, I would lose my shit.
Oh, you'd have to know.
I'd be terrified.
You'd be like, yeah, I got something.
I got it.
It's like after you fuck a chick without a condom now, like the whole next day, you're like, ah, boy.
Yeah, oh, the whole next day.
This isn't going to be good.
I got 24 hours. I'm safe.
Yeah. That's your test.
I made it through 24 hours.
You don't get a cough the very next day.
Call her back. After that, yeah.
I clearly don't have AIDS. I'm fine.
Seem pretty good. I have to go and rest more and recoup. But thank you, Lewis.
Yes, thank you very much.
Always
for coming
a pleasure
in.
To
thank
have
you,
Lewis
guys.
In. And welcome back. And I hope this year is very good for all of the people here. Lewis J. Gomez, of course, Legion of Skanks, the Real Ass Podcast, Believe You Me Podcast, all on Gas Digital Network.
Hell yeah.
And anywhere you're going to be that you want the people to know?
February 2nd, I'll be up at Laugh It Up Poughkeepsie, so come out if you're up in the semi-upstate area. And yeah, listen to the pods.
Do that. And of course, Mr. Landau, where will you be?
This weekend, I will be at the Denver Improv, January 4th through 6th, Tuesday the 8th at 7 p.m. You can see me on the Bonfire, and Monday, January 21st, Legion of Skanks.
Fuck yeah, you will.
So awesome.
We got to get you back on, Anthony.
I know. I got to get the fuck back
What's
on.
What's going
it?
On here?
And I will be back here to join you for more jocularity tomorrow. Until then, have yourselves a great little evening.